Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Previously on Best in Show.
Fred, are you honestly saying that it's never struck you as unusual, the lack of conversations in our car ride to the bus stop?
Never.
You know how you have that friend of yours or that guy who is sort of an acquaintance that when you're forced into a situation, it's a little awkward? I know that I'm that guy for pretty much everybody.
Yeah, you mean the bride.
Sometimes I wonder by the look in your eyes.
So you think you make your girlfriend feel awkward?
Somehow there's a couple of people out there who either I'm not awkward around or I don't make entirely awkward. I don't think I make her awkward. No, thankfully. Unless we're in bed.
I can't think of any vision that is a little bit more disturbing to me than the idea of Brian in bed.
Hey, baby.
I'm glad to see that it's not that strange. Everyone to me is sort of a stranger. I guess it's the concept that you need to fill up space with someone who's supposed to be a friend or an acquaintance with noise. Like, you actually have to have a conversation, and it's not acceptable to sit silently. It's going to be that uncomfortable, and you're not going to want to hang out with me later, which is fine. That's exactly what I want. I don't want to hang out with you later. I don't know what it is. I don't know what. I haven't figured out what that is about them. Acquaintances that I hang out with regularly are still, I feel awkward around regularly. I just feel awkward around people in general.
He has all the free time in the world and he chooses to sit in his house unbathed in sweatpants or underwear playing video games.
Brian's outside smoking a cigarette and I'll walk out. He'll always like, and we've known each other for years, but he'll always give me this awkward sort of like, how you doing?
Yeah. Horrible. I'm a horrible person.
Been on the show, two and a half years, 3 years, and you still feel uncomfortable when Keith comes out in between a commercial break?
Oh, Jesus, what am I going to say? What am I going to say to impress him? Oh.
Do you not think anyone likes you on the show, Brian?
Do
you struggle with that?
No, I think most people here like me.
Who do you think likes you the most?
Who do you think
puts up with you the most?
I think Fred puts up with me the most, definitely.
My love is like a river running so deep.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now my pleasure to introduce the best of the best, Best in Show.
Welcome!
Sabbatical. It's Best in Show. BestinShowRadio.com here on Hear Us Talk, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be. You want to be a part of the magic? You can. 877-744-6405. That's the hottest of all lines. Call us up. Let us know what you're thinking. We'll be more than happy to entertain you. Well, what you say on the phone. I'm just trying to do it as different as possible now. Just now out of rhythm with the music and just anything. I figure it's the best way to go. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Best in Show. I'm going to be hanging out with you for a little bit, just a little bit. I'll be honest. I know we're just back from sabbatical. I'm exhausted already. I'm winded. I don't know what I'm doing. Thank God that me, Chris, who's going to be here for a couple hours, has a partner and a friend and a lover to lean on. His name's Keith.
And you know what I wondered is why none of us...
Why you're unbelievably low and well, I can't even hear you?
Why none of us were named to the Hear Us Talk All-Star game.
Let's think about it. Think about the other stars of Heroes Talk. Think about everybody. You can understand why we'd be, you know, bench warmers at best.
Is there going to be the fact that Giggs was named? Is there going to be any like hard feelings?
Animosity?
Yeah.
Hatred? Absolutely.
Can I be the catcher?
I said Giggs, not Brian.
Oh, sorry. Look who's sitting next to Keith. It's a little friend with a nice shirt on. It says "Herpy Birthday." It's Fred.
What's up, gals?
Chilling.
What's going on? Thanks for having me.
No, really. Thanks for being had. Appreciate you coming down. Glad you could make it. Glad you cleared out your schedule for one night and one night only.
When was our last time we did a show? 14 days ago?
I think it was just about 14 days ago. It would have been July 2nd, back before our country had a birthday. I don't know what that meant.
Before we had a specific birthday.
What do you mean?
What birthday was this for the country?
Jesus's. The holiest day of the Christian calendar, July 4th.
But what birthday was it? What number?
230-something.
I bet you just made that up.
No, 233. There you go. Yep.
Really?
1776. Come on, man.
Fourscore and 7 years ago, our forefathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, contrived in liberty. Everyone else is contrived and ridiculous? It's Brown.
Where's the beef?
Very good, very good. See, it was like a little thing. Yeah, I like it. I'll be honest with you. I feel like those 2 weeks, Fred, that you were just talking about, it's, you know, you think this is like riding a bike? Nope, I have no idea how to do a show. I want to quit. I'm ready to walk out. I'm done with this whole thing. Luckily, we've got a professional executive producer writing the shit, making sure everything's right. We don't have to worry about anything. It's Robert.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the studio.
Oh, thanks for having us, Rob. We really, really appreciate it. Although, I don't like what you did with the place. We could use a new coat of paint. I'll say that.
And for the record, it's been even longer for me because... Well, the last time I was here, I was so thin that I couldn't even see, I couldn't even tell. So it was actually weird coming back to the studio tonight. I think it's been 2 weeks since I've been here.
Oh, geez.
No, 2 weeks. 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
I like what you've
done
with
the
place,
weren't at the last show. That's right. No. I totally forgot. I didn't understand what you were saying about losing weight. Yeah, you haven't been here in 3 weeks.
No.
That's really dramatic.
After not doing a show for that long, do you kind of like forget the show even exists? Like when like a Sunday comes up or
and find
like
yourself
that.
Masturbating furiously at living a life without doing a show.
Well, it's funny that last week Fred sent me a text message about something. I don't remember what it was about that night. And I said, wait, you're talking about it like midnight? And then the next message I said to him was, please tell me that I forgot that like for some reason we're not doing a show tonight and I could just sit in my house the whole night.
You really just want that. You really just dream and fantasize
when it's,
about it.
When it's like 4:30 at night and I'm just like, oh, I'm really tired. I'm really being lazy. I haven't had a chance to not leave the house since yesterday.
Since now. I haven't had a chance to not leave the house since the last show a week ago when I had to leave it.
This is the show day stress that I was talking about. Is that, do you feel it like I do? Or are you just – is it laziness or is it actual like fear?
It's not even – it's not only lazy. It's not fear. It's laziness. It's definite laziness. But now it's a new thing. Coincidentally, since Brian brought it up, as of last week, I did not want to leave my couch for my PlayStation 2 because I was obsessed with playing this game that Brian gave me. And I sort of fully understood now. Not fully, but I kind of understood where Brian was coming from.
So, yeah, you're not fully. It's kind of like being slightly retarded as to being full-blown retarded.
Oh, dude, he's full-blown retard at this point. I've gotten texts from him along the lines of, like, I've been in the same place for the last 4 hours and no progress has happened. What do I do now?
You know,
and this is like the beginning of this.
As you're saying it, our buddy Pristine is saying in the Pal Talk room, Keith will get there eventually if he's not there already. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess you've been infected. You've been infected with the swine flu of video gaming and you're hooked.
Keith, tell me this game is Tetris.
No, it's called Ico.
Ico?
Yeah.
ICO?
ICO, yeah.
Ico,
It's great. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think it's. I'm sure it's great. I just didn't play. I don't play video games. Not really doing video games of that nature.
Do you feel like the rest of the world is kind of getting in your way? Like, God, don't they realize that I'm on level 3 and I've been working on this for 3 hours. I'm about to progress to level 4 and dinner. I have to eat dinner.
Yeah, exactly. And which is exactly why when last week when I received that.
Can I recommend skipping dinner? Is not such a bad idea. Well, I'm just gonna say.
When I got the text from Fred, and I was just like, wait, is there a chance that instead of texting him back, hey, you know what? That's a good idea, like going out somewhere tonight since we don't have a show. My response was...
Now I remember, I said it was Thursday, and I said, I'm going out to a karaoke bar to sing karaoke.
Karaoke.
So he goes, oh, at midnight? I said, no, not at midnight. I'm going at 9. He goes, what do you mean? There's no show? I said, yeah, there's no show. He forgot that there was no show. And I said, yeah. So I said, all right. So went out, calling him all the time about the karaoke bar, never picked up his call, said, and then gave me some excuse. That I think he gave me some lame excuse about some like babysitter excuse or something.
But no. The excuse I gave was legitimate about why I couldn't come out. But don't think I wasn't happy that I could just sit home and play a video game.
So you actually,
I think it's terrific. I'm glad you found something that you love and you're going for it.
Hey, Chris.
Yes, sir.
Speaking of video games,
what do you mean?
The video game. I got it last week and I was playing it.
What do you mean the video?
The one that you wanted to get to just buy your. You know, the UFC.
Oh, you got the UFC game, you son of a bitch?
Yeah, we can play.
You brought it down here?
Well, no, I could.
Oh, my God. How did you not have that ready, and why weren't we playing for the half hour before the show?
See, that's, you just want to stop the show to play it.
That's the one thing I'll say. As far as video games are concerned, if you could make believe you're a UFC fighter instead of doing a talk radio show, I think that's a great idea. I think it's a fantastic idea.
What is it, Wii? Is it for the Wii, or is it for the
PlayStation?
No, it's a video game. Okay. It's not the Wii.
Yeah, if it was for the Wii, then I wouldn't worry about it. I'd be psyched for it. Yeah, you have what? You have Xbox or PlayStation 3?
No, PlayStation 3.
Oh, look at you.
But the funny thing is I went last week I've been posting all over the board, the video game section of our forum at RadioBronzeFans.com. And
by the way, people should register for that, right?
I think they
sign
should.
Sign up, log on, go to RadioBronzeFans.com.
Don't have
themselves.
To register with their real full name.
Fred.
They can put like a username.
Like, give me an example.
Like, I use Best in Show Keith, but that is my given full name, but it wouldn't have had to be.
Okay. It would not have happened to be.
DJ New Style uses his given birth name, but he wouldn't have had to either.
Like Keith Fu. Oh, wait, he's pristine. Everybody uses. You actually have to sign up with your real name.
You only.
Okay, anyway.
I dare someone to sign in with Best in Show Fred. Please, somebody.
He's going
to
know.
What is that?
It's the internet.
That's
the internet.
It's that's you we're talking about.
I actually visited the message board, but I'll get into that later.
I went to. GameStop to buy some used games because now I'm at the point where I'm trying to get caught up because I owned a PlayStation and the only thing I ever played was like the Madden football game.
It's a losing battle, man.
So all these games like Silent Hill and all these things, I'm like, all right, I have to try to get caught up. So I went in.
You've got 10 years of video gaming to try to catch up on.
Well, I'm not going to try to catch up on everything, but I went in to buy them and I tried to buy a copy of Silent Hill. And the guy wouldn't sell it to me. The kid that was younger than me, well younger than me, by probably like 15 years at least, wouldn't sell it to me because I didn't have ID on me.
Dude, you're 40. You're 40 years old. You got proofed?
Let me be clear.
I got proofed for a video game.
It's a mature video game. Like, it's rated M for mature. So, like,
were you wearing diapers there?
Oh, what happened? Bus passes don't have photo ID on them?
No,
but seriously,
don't.
You couldn't take your hat off and be like, look at me. Like, seriously, look at me.
I'm wearing a hat. I wasn't wearing a hat. And I was pretty much at this level.
You should have shown him your gray pubic hair. Wouldn't that have done something for him?
What about the tattoos that you have? Say you have to be 18
to get
a
Simpson tattoo.
Yeah. Only a child would have that.
So I had to go back the next day and buy it with...
Was the same guy there?
Same guy.
Did you show him the ID and say, here?
He asked me for it.
What ID did you show him?
Is this a non-driver's license?
Yeah, I have a non-driver's license. Okay.
Wow, that's amazing.
And you don't carry that in your wallet?
I don't have a wallet.
You would have an easier. You would have an easier time.
He doesn't have money.
Let me back.
Why would he need a wallet?
That's true too. But.
You would have an easier time smoking, buying a packet of cigarettes than you would buying a video game. That's crazy to me.
How do you not have a wallet?
My wallet officially broke to the point where I said, you know what, it's falling apart, but I could still use it. So I put my money and my cards in, and then I opened it up just to make sure everything was okay, and everything fell through the bottom because it was just completely, holes were torn. You got to remember, I bought this wallet for $3 on Roosevelt Avenue by Shea Stadium like 3 years ago. Okay. So it lasted me, I guess, as long as I, more than I ever could have asked for. So I didn't have a wallet, so I keep forgetting to, like, just get, like, a clip and clip everything together and keep it in my pocket.
Nice paper clip. Nice binder clip for yourself.
Or a wallet for $5.
That could work, too. They sell Mets ones, I bet. Velcro, that would look very nice.
Yeah, I'm not Rockefeller.
Those are horrible, those Velcro wallets.
What are you talking about? The coolest hell.
I love a Velcro wallet.
You can make, like, sound with
I want to get some ruse also then. Oh, no, those are the ones with the zipper pocket, the sneakers with the zipper pocket.
Kangaroos.
You can make a wallet out of duct tape. Like, you go on the internet and they'll give you, like, instructions on how to do it with
That's
duct
what
tape.
Entropy's saying. You can duct tape fixes everything.
Not just fixing the wallet, make a wallet
out of duct
tape.
He's saying making a full wallet out of duct tape. I've seen this too. Actually, I think I saw it because Brian showed it to me.
I kind of want to do that, actually. If my wallet got busted up, that's probably what
Why would
I
would
you just
make one
just
anyway?
Invent, like, you don't know, no wallet, just starting with duct tape?
Yeah,
like,
duct tape.
Well, there's apparently a recipe for how to do it. A little, an instruction manual, I guess, would be making sense.
They are delicious.
I will be armed and ready. I will use my right analog stick hand to flash my ID right in his face.
I want to see the guy that carded Keith, because he must be look like a real...
This guy was really... this guy was a full-blown video game store employee.
By the way, our buddy Pristine is also saying in the Battle Room, apparently that duct tape wallet will also double as a shank if you heat it up just a little bit. So.
All right, so it's something else to keep
in exactly. mind. It's multi-use. It's like the Swiss Army knife of wallets.
He was a young kid, younger than you, or old?
He was probably like 20 or 21.
Okay, so
like
he was
that.
Young.
I got the impression he was the manager of the place.
Oh, God.
Really?
Yeah, and him and the other guy were in like this conversation about how like the other guy was telling him, yeah, man, I was going to, like, how he was going to beat up a customer or something, and like, it's the oddest conversation.
Beat up
on.
My phys ed teacher.
And he's just like, well, here's three reasons why that wouldn't have been a good idea. Number one, it's illegal.
Well,
it brings up a good point, though.
I would think if he was just like a worker and he has to follow like the bureaucracy, no, we're not selling this to anyone unless you've got an ID, then you say, call your manager over here and look at Old Man River, and he'll be able to okay,
you know what?
Purchasing an adult video game.
I knew I was going to have a problem because the guy in front of me, he proofed also. And this guy was with probably his daughter, who was in her 20s, and her kids, who were almost legal age to buy that game.
Three generations there.
And this guy is old. Like, he's an old man, and he's looking all over.
He had a beard down to the floor.
He didn't have it when he got in there.
Yeah, but I'm sorry, Mr. Van Winkle. If you don't have ID, you can't come in.
Not a problem for him, though, because he carries identification with him.
And he's looking, yeah, but he couldn't find it, so he's looking all around, and I'm thinking, like, he's going to say at some point, okay, you're old enough. You know what I mean? Like, and then finally the guy finds it, and he, like, checks it. He's like, okay. Here's that copy of, like, Bully.
Is it weird that I'm jealous that Keith has gotten carded and I haven't in the past 10 years?
I don't get carded anywhere.
I guarantee if you were to go buy little video games for yourself, you'd get proof too.
You'll get proof in the same place. But you know what? That same day I went to a different liquor store than the one where the guy knows me, and I was buying a bottle of wine, and the kid goes, you got ID? And like, I didn't hear him at first, and then as I was answering, I realized what I said, and I realized I didn't have it, and I was like, huh? I said, like, well, oh, what, or excuse me, whatever, and he's like, nah, forget it. I was like, oh, thank God.
I'm too old, Sonny. Speak up. I can't hear you.
He's senile. He's sure. Give him a drink.
So if ever I'm feeling bad about being old or my age, you know, I'm just going to go into that video game place. And just feel rejuvenated.
Just try to buy something with an M on it.
You can go to, there's a lot of bars in Manhattan that'll card you. It's usually like right after they got busted for serving minors or something, they card everyone.
Even you, Brian?
Yeah,
even
you walk into the place and they even card me from time to time. It happens.
I got news for you. I was in my neighborhood like 2 days ago, and I think
a neighborhood
bar by me actually got busted. And there was like a whole like, sting going on. I didn't care enough to actually stop and really find out what was going on.
Sting,
but that's my news story that I wanted to tell you guys. Apparently, a bar somewhere near my house might have had a problem. So just so you know, take note.
And drug dealers are now carding.
What?
Is that serious?
Yeah, you got to get ID now.
You're gonna lose business.
So I went full fledged into like and I bought like a new baseball game, and I said, oh look, 162 game season, I could play this, you know, full nine innings, and I said, this will last me for a while now. This will last me a few months, and now and then like 2 days later, I was like 39 games into the season,
really,
just sitting there playing till like
wow.
5 in the morning.
He's hooked.
And you did it.
0-39, by the way. But
yeah, I got news for you. I always had plans when I was younger, when I was into like the baseball games and the basketball games stuff. I convinced myself, all right, if I come home from school every day and like play one game of baseball, one game of basketball, like then it'll go in like kind of in time with the season. It'll be great. And I never got more than like 10 games into a season. Football is the only thing that I would do, and that you try and do in like 2 days.
You strike me as the kind of guy who like gets into something quick and gives it up fast.
Oh, God, yeah.
Which is why, I mean, I guess I sort of saw that a little bit with Keith, but he seems to be latching onto this one. 39 games in a row. How many hours of that is that you sitting in front of a television playing a video game?
I guess, solid. Each game probably takes like an hour, maybe a little
39
bit more than
hours.
Pristine might have
shot?
A better idea because I know he plays the same game.
Well, Pristine, who's also chiming in the Pal Talk Room, that he's in year 2014 of MLB The Show.
He's calling us for the future?
Yes.
Oh, he got the game yesterday.
Yeah, apparently, I guess it's 2009 version of the game, so he's played
five
years of baseball is what he's done. Congratulations.
Oh, you've got the PS2 version of the most current
version
one.
Of the most current, because it was broken when I bought it, so I went back the next day and I just got the new one.
Yes. He plays the future version of the game. He came from the future. He takes a flying limo to the stadium.
So I've been on two weeks of vacation now and summer vacation. And the hardest part about being home is not spending money. You know, and me and my wife both have jobs. We're getting paid over the summer. And we're just home
Bragger.
All day. And the hardest part is not spending money. And I can't believe I'm hearing Keith, just like Brian, doesn't have a job and now still spending money on luxuries that he cannot afford.
Of course.
Just blows my mind. It blows my mind that I have a job and I'm trying not to spend money and I'm getting paid. And these two don't have a job at all. And they're just spending it on video games, vacations.
Do you notice a theme?
Losers?
Responsibility, irresponsibility. These things happen.
Well, it did.
You know, it doesn't make you a bad person.
I will say this much. I was.
What's your gamer score, pal?
I was standing in the store with approximately between new memory cards, a couple of new controllers, like wireless controllers, and a bunch of games. I was standing in the store and I looked down at about $150 worth of merchandise and I said, wait. The money stopped coming in. I left it to just the $10 Silent Hill game, and I put everything else back. So.
All right, that's
no,
all right.
That's not true. I also bought a game called Gun, but that was $8.
Gun.
Right. Hey, it's nothing. I'm not going to knock it. I think it's fine. I think it's great. You got yourself a hobby if that's what you want to spend your money on.
And the beautiful thing is my girlfriend loves playing Scramble on Facebook, so there's no...
So you never have to talk with each other all the time.
She loves to play games also. That she loves that game. So it's just like, you know, like there's not going to be.
So now that
I wouldn't, you know, if it was to a point where like I wouldn't like ignore her to play this video game. So it works out well.
I know that she plays Scramble on Facebook. She's beaten me 16,008 to 9.
Yeah, me too.
To 9. I mean, like, literally, she's beaten me hundreds to single digits. It's ridiculous. Well, I thought I had a decent vocabulary. It's like a Scrabble game.
You know, as far as the money goes, perhaps the MLB 09 was maybe the mistake. But if you really are sincerely worried about, like, catching up on all the old video games, you're going to find used video games really, really cheaply. Like $5 here and there, you can go out and buy things that are a year, even 2 years old for the PS2.
And funny thing about that is Brian mentioned I text him at night. And Brian called me Brian called me one night at like I got a message from him at like midnight. He was out walking around running some errands at midnight and wanted to know my progress on ICO. I heard that message the next day. But,
his errands was he was trying to break into the neighborhood GameStop instead of actually buying the games there.
So I looked at my alternate things I might fill my time with things that aren't responsible not applying for jobs or anything like that, and I
God forbid.
And I looked at those irresponsible things. There was like book lists, things I've been wanting to read, and there's these video games, and there's some movies and things. And I noticed a single thread, and the single thread is Brian. And I realized that I think I have, like, as far as media things go, if that's the right word, I think I have probably more in common with Brian than anyone else on this show by far.
I definitely find some significant overlapping in taste between myself and Fred. Fred. Oh, is that funny?
You guys can talk about that on the way home.
Do you? But you think you find that surprising?
I don't find it surprising because I guess that's always kind of like why we, were friends.
Gravitated towards each other?
Yeah. But there's a lot of overlap. There's a lot of overlap now. And the video game was the final thing.
Well, but give me an example. Outside of video games, what else? What are the other things
that
bring you guys together?
Yeah. Literature.
We both hate me.
right. Okay, ice shirt. I forgot. Right. American astronaut.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah, there's more there.
all of the books that he's reading are all like he started getting into Homer. I don't know if you've like tapped into that, but I made some recommendations.
I've been playing with Ico instead.
It's a tattoo of him and it's on his arm.
Right.
So,
but so you think you have more in most in common when it comes to media driven stuff like TV, movies,
art
with Brian than anyone on the show?
I think that's a fairly accurate representation.
The one strong difference is that Chris and I both are big sports fans, mm-hmm. and sports takes up a huge portion of my life.
But I'm not the same level of sports fan as you, Ethan, because I'm more of the football fan, you're more of the baseball fan. So that's not even that much. I was going to say, if we were to look around the table, I would put myself at maybe number three. I think you have more in common with Fred than you do with me.
Absolutely. The musical. Yeah,
exactly.
Love the musical.
I love the musical.
The love Kanye West.
I love how he has nothing in common with me. He's just like, I put myself number three. Because no. Brian's number one, Fred's number two, and I'm number three.
You were number two. You're always number two.
Well, first of all, I do have a little bit of a friendship with Keith. I'm sorry. But you guys did work at Pergamon together. I forgot. All right, I'm number four. I'm number four on the list.
Chris got bumped.
The guy in that painting looks kind of cool.
Wait, that's you. You do have more in common with you. Damn it. All right. I don't know. Well, I'm glad to see that things are working out and you've figured out a way that you've got games going and you've got everything in common with Brian. It's exciting. I'm happy for you fellas.
I love you, Keith.
Well, thanks. Oh,
Keith.
Thanks,
Keith.
I right. I'm trying to do a segue and I'm getting sidetracked and confused. My mistake. Things that aren't working.
Why are you getting mad at us?
Because I'm not, why are you getting mad at the collective me?
Don't speak to Keith like that, Chris.
I'm sorry. Well, one of the things I noticed that isn't working, in addition to my relationship with Keith and Brian, is that I've had problems with lately, was my computer. I don't know if anyone spent any time on that Radio Bronze fans forum that wasn't in the video game thread, was the fact that I had been infected recently by a Trojan virus on my computer, and it wound up screwing me over pretty bad. I wound up having all sorts of issues, couldn't get on the internet, and I decided that my solution was going to be I was going to switch over to Linux from Windows, and that was going to be my big fix to get rid of everything.
Nerd. Smooth transition, though, wasn't it?
Oh, it was. It worked out really, really well. I actually really, really didn't mind it at all until I realized that everything I liked wasn't on Linux. Other than that, it was cool. Like, the internet was there.
Now, what would be the reason for doing this? You kind of talked to me about it a little bit, but
I'm just trying to be outside of the box. Just saying, you know what, let's go for it.
Trying to give 110%?
The problem was my computer was effed up. And I said, you know what, I have to wipe out my
computer. Eff the man.
I have to wipe out my computer anyway. Why don't I wipe out my computer and just try something crazy and just go for it? Just something different. Just like, to do something. Try and do something crazy. Like, it's never even been heard of.
Why did I turn my computer into a brick?
Exactly.
More let's or see less. How that'll work.
More or less.
What couldn't you get on Linux that you got on the regular?
Everything.
Every program you can imagine.
A working computer.
Like, no, that's not true.
Like you said, you got on the internet, right?
I got on the internet. I got my email.
Oh, so you have a computer then?
I do have a computer.
But what can't you do? You can't get Word?
No PalTalk.
Okay.
No,
that's not internet?
No Warcraft.
No Flash, right? I think the Flash plugin is going to be like weird.
No, I don't really know. I never got that far into it. I couldn't do any of the Windows things that I wanted to do. There were Windows alternatives for like a lot of the stuff, but not everything. I couldn't get Warcraft. I couldn't get all this stuff. It was really heartbreaking for me. So.
That's sort of the nature of it, though. Like the idea is you press through those stumbling blocks to get to the place that you want to be.
White as Prince says, no Adobe anything on Linux, apparently.
Yeah.
I never get porn?
I was just going to say, come on, be honest. You couldn't stream your porn.
No, RedTube works just fine in Linux.
So then you got everything.
I just need, I need PalTalk is what I need. That's the big thing I need. I need PalTalk. Any video editing stuff, it wouldn't recognize any of my video stuff the right way that it was supposed to. And I'm sure there are ways around it.
You
I
have
just
to
hadn't
find
to
different
it.
Video. You don't try to run the Windows program on it. You have to go and find the Linux version.
I understand.
Open source.
I understand. And it was a hard time. It was a little agonizing for me at first. And I was talking to some of my guys that I work with, and they're like, hey, here's what you need to do. If you really want to try the Linux thing, format your computer back to Windows, get it up. After it's up, then we either do a dual boot or you do some sort of like VMware where you have a virtual Linux machine on your machine is the way to do it. And I said, you know what? That's a fantastic idea. I went and brought my computer into – I tried to do that. Computer didn't work. Nothing worked out the way it was supposed to. I actually brought my computer into work, and one of my friends actually figured out what was wrong. So one thing that the virus did, it actually got into my BIOS somehow and was making my computer – not recognize the hard drive itself. It wouldn't look to the hard drive to write. It was crazy.
That problem you just said is why I always have a fear of entering into any sort of like advanced changes on my computer, because like that point where it doesn't recognize the hard drive, and then it's just like, well,
go for it.
Yeah, it recognized it from Linux, because with Linux it wasn't going to my hard drive. I was booting off of a CD-ROM.
Good guy.
But I was booting off a CD-ROM. I wasn't booting off the hard drive. When I tried to boot off the hard drive, all sorts of problems happened. I brought it into work. One of my friends looked at it for like 5 minutes. He's like, yeah, you don't really know a lot about computers. Let me fix this for you.
Is this Leet Speak too?
It might as well be. So he got my computer running. Everything was great. I started installing all my programs and everything. It was fantastic. And, it was cool.
Why do they call it the Trojan virus?
I think because it hides inside of a Trojan horse of viruses as something other than what it is.
No, it's because they all come from Troy. All the virus makers.
I thought it was an F York.
Yes, well, kind of, essentially. As much as it F'd me, I didn't realize how much it did. So I got my computer back running. Everything started working. Nice. I was happy. Everything's good.
So your Linux machine is working now?
No. It was working. He put me on Windows. Brought back to Windows.
Back in the machine.
Right, absolutely. But this is not the point of the story. So then I go into work the following day after we get my computer running. I bring it home. It works nice that night. I go in. I come into the office the next day. My boss is there. He's like, hey, how you doing? Hey, so I see you raided the bank. I'm like, excuse me? I see you raided the bank. And I'm thinking, is there some sort of stupid Facebook game I'm playing, like where I'm stealing bank records or something?
.com.
And I'm just like, yeah, I don't know what you could possibly be talking about. And he says, in Warcraft. And I say, wait a minute. I haven't played Warcraft in about a month and a half. What are you talking about? He's like, yeah, you actually were in Warcraft this morning at about 8 o'clock in the morning, and you took 600 gold out of the bank. You did the same thing yesterday, too. Hey, wait, isn't the limitation on withdrawals from the bank 600 gold that you can take? Apparently, the Trojan virus was a way for someone to steal my Warcraft account, and someone went into my Warcraft account and robbed my guild and robbed all my items and did me one but good.
Well, not to get too geeky here, but I don't think it's
too late.
I don't think it's just your Warcraft account. I think that the part of the Trojan that you got hit with is something that collects all your username and passwords for everything you sign into, and they just happen to jump on the Warcraft one because they're Warcraft geeks.
I thought that was the case as well. I thought that could possibly be the case as well. I did immediately go in and find everything that could have been linked to it in the account and in my computer, and went and changed all my passwords for everything. Nothing had been touched. Good. Nothing had happened. But when I went to my bank account, I saw in my bank account that there was a $90 charge to Blizzard, which is the company that get Warcraft from. I'm like, these sons of bitches, they renewed my account for the most expensive price that you possibly could, the six-month renewal. I'm like, son of a bitch. So I go to Blizzard, I talk to them, I ask them about the whole thing. I'm like, hey, this is what happened. First of all, I got through to my bank about 5 minutes. Blizzard sat on the phone for 45 minutes waiting to talk to a human being about getting this thing sorted out. Talk to them. Turns out they never actually hacked. It was an add-on that actually hacks in and basically just links your account to another thing. So they never actually got my password. They found a way to merge my existing account with an existing password, is the way that it worked out. So no, there was no way that they could have recorded things. Way too detailed of what I'm saying here. Someone stole my crap. It sucked. They said they were going to fix it.
That person should be tarred and feathered.
The best part about it is I log into my Warcraft account. And for those that don't know, Warcraft is a stupid Dungeons & Dragons video game. I logged in, and as soon as I log in, once they get me my account back, my character is naked and falling. As soon as I log in, I'm naked and falling. Like, wait, what the hell's going on?
He virtually raped your character.
They made a point to steal all my stuff. And
no.
when they logged me into my account, they logged me out at a super high cliff that they made me fall off of naked.
So now they're just being jerks. Like, they had to go out of their way to...
You've been virtually raped and murdered.
It was... So I log in. I'm just like, hey, wait, what's going on? Hey, I'm falling. Hey, I'm still falling. Hey, 15 seconds later, wow, I'm still falling. This is amazing. And then I hit the ground and died.
Was your character name changed to Naked Falling Douche or something?
No, but what did happen was they did create a new character on my account that was used just to transfer the funds. That person was just standing in front of a bank.
What's that?
Just
what was that person's name?
I don't remember the name. I have it. I still have
it
on my
account. Was it something good, like relevant?
No,
or just
it's like Citrian or Crap Face or something. I don't know. Whatever. But it was, as much as the whole thing sucked and as much as the whole thing was inconvenient, I appreciated the humor of the fact that they left me screwed like that, and it got me pretty psyched and made me, as I'm being called out by Pristine, thinks this is just an elaborate story to justify my return to WoW. Indeed, it has, and I'm hell-bent on getting my character back to a decent place.
See, I actually thought that the last time you played, you forgot that you were like I thought it was like months ago when you were still drinking and like you just like had your character naked on a cliff for some reason and like fell off and logged out.
I wish that was it. No, it literally was someone. He set me up to fall. It was like in an area I would never be.
That's great. I like that.
It was very elaborate.
It was fantastic. Oh, and all my bags, everything was emptied, you know, of all my valuable stuff, and he filled my pockets with copper ore. Something that's like it's worth dirt in the game, basically. He just filled my pockets with garbage. And
so a 13-year-old got all your information.
A pretty elaborate 13-year-old, a really smart 13-year-old. So he was probably 12 and a half.
Tasha's phone in the chat room suggested that your character was asleep with his hand in a glass of water.
Basically, more or less. It was great, though.
Your medieval bra was frozen.
Yes, it was awful.
Did you feel like somebody stole something, like dirty? You know, like when somebody steals from you, that feeling you get?
I freaked out at first. I freaked out because I was my main thing was thinking that, oh my God, the bank. Oh my God. Is my social security number any place on here? No, it's not. What things could someone have gotten into and screwed with? My DirecTV account, like stuff like
this. Well, this person saw every website that you've ever been to, probably, right? This person knows that you're into piss videos, probably.
Probably.
Piss videos is his name in Warcraft.
Well, the thing is, I don't think the person could get into my...
They can't see where you've been? I don't know what they could get. Scary.
I
still think they got into his secure cookies or whatever and were able to get usernames and passwords. They latched onto that one first. And, I mean, with you, I hope you went and changed every... even ones that you don't think you've touched.
Yes.
Because you're bad with the passwords. You use...
Every password that I have is the same password for the most part, and I've changed them all to something
new. Were they your World of Warcraft? You know, don't even...
No, my World of Warcraft account was a totally different thing.
Okay, good.
Totally different thing.
You know what? This is another problem I have with that whole log me in thing.
Yeah.
Because I think, excellent to... two advanced hackers would be able to get into your computer and see everything anyway. Now with that new, or I don't know how new it is, but that log me in thing where you can just log into your computer from someplace else, I think that whole thing is now allowing lower levels of hackers to just get one password and get onto your computer.
To be fair, they'd have to not only know your log me in password, but they'd have to know the password of the computer
they're
attempting to log into.
Which, if you're an idiot, you won't put...
And using the same password
for
everywhere.
I had two different ones.
All right.
But my LogMeIn account was the same. For that PC was the same as my Warcraft account.
I wasn't
account.
Specifically bringing up your LogMeIn for the record.
But, so, I mean, that's the point, is you just use different passwords, and it's just as safe as not having LogMeIn. Someone could walk into your house and not know your password.
I would go so far as to say change all your credit cards, too. Because if you paid with credit cards on that computer, the guy could probably go back, see what website you want to
check. Have we ever met? I don't have credit. I have $40,000 worth of debt with American Express, and that's it.
Did you pay it?
What if he steals that?
That's not on the computer. Don't worry about it.
You always have worse credit, though. I mean, you have none.
There were no credit card. There's no credit card information on my computer.
Okay.
I got Brian's joke for the record. What if he steals your debt?
Thank you.
I didn't even hear it. I was busy fighting with Fred. I was confused.
Thanks, Keith.
That's scary, though, man. That would scare
me. No problem.
Yeah, it was awful. It was awful, and I hated the whole thing, but I was really excited to see myself naked and falling. Which, by the way, Erka Durka was pointing out, if I was naked, how did I have stuff in my pockets? It's one of the nuances of the game. You get to have bags without having clothes on.
The fact that they made you naked makes me think it's somebody that knows you from the past.
What made me naked, except for the fact that I had my guild tabard on, which I don't usually wear. So they put it on me to let me know, here's the duke from this crew. He's falling naked.
I remember the biggest controversy in Warcraft when I was still playing was somebody let someone new into our guild, and they robbed all of the gold and all of the valuable stuff from our guild bank.
By the way, I think I know who hacked into my account, because Johnny UPC just wrote BIS Chris 2008 in the chat room. How'd you know what my password is? What the hell?
No, he said 2008.
If you really,
right.
If you really did find out passwords. Who did it, Chris, if you really did find out who did it, would you be mad?
What, if it was someone I knew?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'd be relieved.
You would be relieved.
I'd be relieved. I think it would be kind of screwed up, but I would be relieved to know that there's nothing hanging out there. I'm relatively calm and not worried that anything else is going to happen because I changed my passwords on everything. But if it was someone I knew, I'd be relieved.
Those pictures of me playing naked soccer are all over the place now, aren't they?
Dude, they were on Facebook already. What are you worried about?
That's right. I put them on.
So it was a very exciting time. But thankfully, thankfully, I'm back on Windows. I am back on Warcraft. And everything's going to be just fine.
So that you were alluding to before, this is now he's worked against you, if you will. Now you're back and focused on Warcraft, and you're going to work yourself back up to a level 70 magic user with clothes or something, right?
Well, actually, I got an email from Blizzard today. They've reviewed and found everything that was stolen from me, and it's been returned to me.
Nice.
So yeah, actually, when we got to Rob's house tonight, Rob could attest I was logging into my Warcraft account to see that my stuff had been returned.
You know what the worst part about this?
What's that?
He knows who you are, and you don't know who he is. Like, you could be, like, walking around in the realm, and some guy buddies up to you and is like, hey, how you doing? I've never met you before, but there he knows. He knows. I'm the one who raped you.
I know, but I don't play with people I don't know.
The worst part, is that you may know who he is, but he knows who you are.
Oh, no.
I only have one password that I need to use for my computer.
That was my problem.
No, but I'm saying I only have one thing that I need one password for on my computer.
Bank account.
No,
signing
email.
In to it.
Oh. You don't do
online banking. Don't do online banking.
Wait,
you don't
a second.
Have an eBay account.
No.
You don't have a RadioBronzeFans.com account?
What's that?
Email's the only thing you have a password.
Email's the
for.
Only thing I have a password. And my ATM machine, of course, but I don't know who's...
But that's not on your computer.
That's not on it. Yeah, so email. You never go onto your bank's website to look at your balance. When you boot your computer, do you have to type in a password?
No.
Your porn sites that you registered for, do you have to type a
don't
password?
Don't register. I'll just go to free ones.
RedTube.com, YouPorn.com, FreeOnes.com.
I like PinkPornStars.com. That's a good
one. Ooh, that's a new one.
Yeah,
I'm going to check that one out later.
That's good.
What's your password?
I don't have one.
Oh, okay.
I don't have a password. I wonder how many passwords you guys have. How many things do you need passwords for?
You've never used your credit card online?
No. Okay. I don't own a credit card. I never owned a credit
bank
card in my life.
Anything you've never used online?
See,
your wife, neither?
She uses a credit card online sometimes.
eBay. What's the credit card thing?
PayPal.
Mm-hmm. You got PayPal. You got your bank. You got your Warcraft. You got your Pal Talk. The machine itself, log me
you got
in,
your MySpace,
Orb,
your Facebook.
MySpace,
wow.
Facebook.
Newegg.
Newegg I actually Amazon. Do. Yeah, but I did that from work. I didn't do that from
Twitter.
Home, yeah.
Twitter.
Oh, my God.
So you're talk.com.
I think you guys have too many things that you need passwords for. You just need to downgrade a little bit. You don't need to be on all these things, putting out your information.
Boyswithtoys.com.
Especially when something like this happens to you. Doesn't it make you feel like you want to do less now on the computer?
Nope.
Really?
Nope. It made me want to play more Warcraft.
Wow.
What about Dig? LinkedIn, I mean...
Oh, my God, dig.com, seriously.
See, that...
I too, have a LinkedIn account, too. Yeah, I have two LinkedIn
I'm
accounts.
I'm LinkedIn to you.
Wow, you have a lot, man.
See, now, Chris, Johnny UPC is pointing out your smoking hunk's password.
Oh, man.
This thing that happened to Chris, if it happened to me, I would not be on the computer at all, especially not on the website that it happened on. I would never do that.
Do you understand that the day... I brought my computer to work and we got it back running again. I started asking the guy who was helping with it, hey, do you know where I can get a pirated version of this program? And he's like, you just got a virus.
Yeah,
why
exactly.
are you trying to get pirated programs? And then we downloaded it and it had a Trojan virus in it.
Of course, I'm going to fix it again for you right there.
No, as soon as I saw it, we ran a check on it. Before. I was like, see, this is why you shouldn't be doing this. And I was just like,
I've watched you download software and just install it, like not running it through a scanner or anything, and download it from like sketchy places.
I didn't have antivirus until now.
Yes.
I disabled antivirus. I disabled firewall. I would do a malware check like once every 3 months when my computer seemed a little slow. Like, what's
wrong?
I've
watched you go to some really kind of questionable websites and just been like, hey, look at this fancy little thing that usually costs $2,000. I'll just take it and download it and not run it through any kind of scan or anything and just blink, there it goes.
But even
worked good for
even
a while.
Even running it through a scan, I recently had a lot of computer problems. I decided I was going to, for some reason, try to get a copy of AutoCAD. That architecture software that I was going to try to teach myself.
Yeah, you shouldn't admit to stealing that on the air.
I didn't.
Oh, good.
I didn't steal it.
Where did you not steal it from so I could not steal it too?
I had a friend send me a copy.
That was purchased.
It wasn't me.
He checked with you know, the manufacturer, made sure it was okay. And I scanned that copy to make sure, and it was clean. And then I reformatted my hard drive 3 hours later when my computer, I couldn't get on. When I couldn't, as I said, my biggest fear earlier was couldn't access the hard drive.
Goddamn, Mike. I mean nothing. Hey, it comes with the territory.
The funniest thing, though, it's architecture software. Like, he's going to, like, be the new Frank Lloyd Wright or something over here.
At least Keaton or Mike Brady.
It's
not just architecture. It's also engineering. And
Mike Keaton never made a thing.
What?
He never made a thing.
Mike Brady?
Mike Brady only made his house.
Elise Keaton designed stuff, though.
Did she really? She was an architect, too? Oh, my God. Why do you want to be an architect? That's so funny. I never knew that about you.
Because you can use the software. This was at a point where I was like, I need to do anything to get a job.
So you were trying to put that on your resume, like that you knew about the software?
Yeah, I figured because you can use that and work at an architecture firm without being an architect. So yeah. I said, all right, that's something like rare probably, that not everybody says I know Microsoft Office. So I said, AutoCAD, although I see Liverspot's reaction is AutoCAD, is that still used? So I guess
definitely used. It's very popular. It's all through architecture industry, but it's also used in engineering, lots of technical. And on top of that, the learning curve is not exactly – oh, I'll just learn this overnight kind of thing.
Oh, no, I knew that.
It's the same thing as MLB 2008 on PS2. Yeah. Don't worry. Same exact
thing. But I'm 0-39 in that.
Yeah. Okay, so it's fine.
Keith wanted to be the next Art Vandelay. It's great.
It's great. I want to be a latex salesman.
Well, it was very exciting. I'm glad that that I got my computer back. I'm glad I got Warcraft back. And I'm glad that you got AutoCAD not working for yourself. That's what you get.
As Cactus Phone is saying, installing pirated software goes on the resume.
Nice. Hey. I've reformatted hard drives multiple times as a result.
No. It was given to me by a friend.
It's a special
skill. He
checked
with the manufacturer.
Well, these things happen.
For the record, I will never get anything from a friend who checked with the manufacturer again after that. So as per Brian's advice.
I was going to ask you, Chris, if like going through this process of formatting your hard drive makes you a little less scared to do it, but it sounds like you actually didn't do it. Like you gave it to a friend and had them do it.
I'm fine with doing it. The problem was the fact that this somehow got into my BIOS, that my BIOS got screwed, which didn't make sense to me that they disabled my hard drive. I don't know how you could do it because Windows should be operating outside of the BIOS. I don't understand how it works.
They can go in and mess with your BIOS, but it's very easy to go in and fix yourself. Like you could figure.
When I realized that it was something I needed to look at, I didn't know because the thing is I didn't realize that it wasn't going to the hard drive because I was able to get into the hard drive. It just wasn't booting from the hard drive, right? It was disabling the boot to the hard drive.
Subsequently.
Gob, gob, guy. You're listening to Best in Gob Guy, the funny guy nerd show here on whatever on the internet.goo. If you want to call us, you can 877-PIE.
Sorry, 877-744-6405. It's Best in Show. Brian, you got something to say about it?
What's that? What are you trying to say? I'm a nerd? Is that what you're trying to say?
No.
Yes, you are.
Yes.
I think Fred alluded to it earlier in the conversation before I said it on the air. We had a conversation off the air. While Rob went out and went on vacation and we had to disway our radio show for a week, I decided that would be the opportune week for me to take vacation. So I went on vacation again this year, and I just got back. It was a week-long stay, once again, if you recall, last year at Fire Island. I went to the share house, the same share house that I went to.
In fact, the book Share House was written about, right?
Share House Confidential.
Right, my favorite book that I ever didn't read.
I didn't lend that to you, did I?
No.
All right,
no.
Okay.
And you were making a big deal about him spending $10 on a video game. This guy went on vacation.
Yeah, dude, and it's expensive. Like,
The word vacation itself is questionable.
Yeah, he's going to one of the most expensive places, on the eastern seaboard.
He vacated his habit of vacating.
I had to get time off from my not work to go on vacation. And it was expensive. I mean, not nearly as expensive as like a real vacation is. This is a place on Long Island that we had to take public transportation to.
Just you and Chocolate Pepper Cookies went?
Yes, that's correct. And
no one else you knew? So you're going into this house blind, not knowing who's going to be sharing the house?
Well, we knew the owner and the manager of the share house.
That will be there.
He was going to be there. Okay. And we've been sort of involved in that circle for a while, so we would think that there was going to be someone that we would know. And it's kind of a very friendly place. If you don't know him when you get there, you'll know him when you leave.
Aww, that's romantic.
Because we're friendly people, as you could probably gather.
The guy who has a problem looking at the people he knows and saying more than a word to them. who struggles with saying hi to people he's known for 10 years.
In all honesty, like these are the situations where that kind of thing is at its worst for me. Like when I'm going to be in the company of strangers and vaguely know some people there and I feel like I have to be entertaining.
Yeah, but you win an Academy Award when you go there. You're on like grade A. You're on the best show, Brian. You're given a performance.
But does your girlfriend like being around strangers.
By the way, I just love the fact that our buddy Walter Subject tells that I'm not from the Northeast, but isn't Fire Island where the homos go? We yes. did a commercial for the show based on this. On the last time you went to Fire Island.
We were talking about that, as a matter of fact, that week over dinner. We were all talking about the rep that Fire Island. There's two neighborhoods in Fire Island out of the 40 or 50 that are there that are gay. One sort of like gay, heavy gay, and sort of straight friendly. And
I
the other
was all a happy area, no?
The other one is just flat out gay. Like, you have to be gay to go in there.
Wait, straight friendly? Straight friendly meaning like it's a mix, or straight friendly meaning like meaning that the other one, if you go there, you're kind of like an outcast.
Segregated? You go to the other one, you're kind of an outcast. Not just kind of. You're an outcast. They don't want your kind there unless you're gay. And that's sort of like. I don't know. That's the one really remote one. Like, you go there, you don't want to hang out in their bars. You're not welcome in their at their deli meat counter.
Dizzy Peach asks in the chat room, how do they find out if you're gay? Do they make you blow a guy when you walk in? Like, how's that work out?
Well, as I was telling Freddie on the way over there, there's no car, so you have to take the ferry over, and that's where they test you.
Exactly.
On the ferry.
Very good.
Gay joke. Ferry.
No, it was good. It was okay, good. Right. I was impressed.
After he said it seven times.
See, they're funny because they get with each other.
Ah, now I get it.
But the rest of the island is straight and kind of like stuck up about it, quite honestly. There's very few neighborhoods.
It's like gay bashings on the rest of the
island. Well, no, that's a good question because are the straight people bummed out that they're known to be the place where the homos come from?
They definitely have a chip on their shoulder about it being gay central and gay town. Like, it's downtown gay and gay village. And they don't like that at all.
But it brings them a lot of money.
Oh, in the Faggy District. I remember that
it's
place.
It's the gay part of the gay downtown area.
Brings up their property value.
The homes are beautiful there. It actually, they maintain it really well, and by they I mean people, not those people. the island is very nice. And again, we're in sort of like the white trashy end of the island, which
straight.
Definitely
where
straight.
The straights hang.
That's where the straights.
Straights where dudes and chicks bang like crazy.
Embarrassingly straight.
We are just so straight. No one's even wearing pink. We just hang out seriously. Flannel, just banging chicks.
Very rugged, like making a point to be gay. Like all the bad parts about
power tool sales constantly. Everything.
It's like, you know, you go to the bars and they're playing like aggressively straight music. And it's
wait, what's aggressively straight music?
It's like.
Oh, ain't no faggots come around here. Ain't no faggots come around here. Straight as hell. Straight as hell. Ain't no faggots come around here.
It's like, I guess it's like that island sort of like stuck a couple years ago, and you know, the Jimi Hendrix kind of stuff. I don't know, just frat boy, frat rock. Like, lots of that.
Leonard Skinner
covering Charlie Daniels.
Yeah, there's that
hunting
kind of
music. Hunting bad music.
I get confused because when I think frat rock, I'm thinking you mean like Dave Matthews Band and stuff like that. So
there's definitely some of that too. That's, I guess that's a little gay though, if you really think about it.
Okay, good point.
But yeah, I don't know. Like I said, that
did
place,
you have a conversation with one of the townies that exhibited some hatred towards the?
There was not really townies, because quite honestly, the share house that I was at gets a little attitude thrown at it because they're too fancy in New York and too high class and highfalutin for this part of the island.
Okay. They don't beat up gays, so right. They're not accepted.
We allow he allows gay people into his house, and that's a problem. I don't know. So I didn't talk to any townies, but there were people that were visiting there from like other parts of our country, like in the central part of the country and so on and so forth, that knew someone who ran this house. And not only were they like a little homophobic because they too knew about like the gay essence of it, but they're also like racist a little bit and talking a lot about like all the different types of quote people that they see here on the East Coast and how they don't exist everywhere else, and and how they feel comfortable around them because they know how to talk like them, and it was just all kinds of weird stuff going on. It was very uncomfortable. And you know, my girlfriend, and as you were saying, is a very, I don't think she likes strangers, but she's a very sociable person. She'll sit down and have these conversations where I'm in the corner wanting to, like, choke somebody and trying to hide that as much as I possibly can. But there was a lot less people there this time, and it was a lot older, so it made me, you know, it made me less uncomfortable. I didn't have to have that many people around me. I wasn't sharing my space quite as often. And on top of that, the weather was kind of bad, so it was okay for me to stay inside and not go out doors and communicate with people.
You didn't bring your PS3, did you?
No books. I read a bunch of books.
Good. That's good.
Dante's Inferno was one that I focused on.
Is that because they're making a new video game of it and you...
I'm rereading it. I bought a copy of it a long time before I heard about it. This particular translation, I'm getting all nerdy now. I wanted to read this particular translation a while ago, but the fact that they're coming out with a video game made me sort of like jump on it again. That aside, I don't know. I mean, there wasn't really nearly as many uncomfortable moments as last time. Although, like, the moment someone reached for an acoustic guitar that they were going to have some sort of, like, silly sing-along love in, I bolted. Like,
so
I,
you're
I,
saying as far as the weekend itself, there weren't so many uncomfortable. It wasn't about yourself. It's like you haven't gotten more comfortable with the situation as much as there weren't as many uncomfortable situations to deal with.
Yeah, they were older.
So your skin was still painful to be inside of. It was just where that skin was inside of beyond that.
Right,
so
it was the people that I was around weren't inflicting me with their pain as often, and they also were like, lots of those people didn't like it as well. But it didn't stop like some of the locals that he knew from around town to come and hang out at the hippie house and let's grab a acoustic guitar and start singing songs. I bolted out of there so quickly. I ran down into my little like room and locked the door and like started reading the books, and it was uncomfortable. And that quickly, like...
So was it because of the weather, though, that you spent the majority of the time locked in the house, or was it...
The good thing about this week, the weather was bad enough that it was okay for me to stick myself inside of the house. The last year that I did it, the weather was beautiful, and I stayed inside of the house for the most of the time, but I got a lot of attitude as a result of that.
Don't get me wrong, I don't think you should get attitude, however you choose to spend your time, but I do think it's a little bit crazy to go away on vacation away from where you sit in the house to go sit in another house.
I slept
totally. It seems weird. Absolutely. But this is coming from a homebody. You know, this is coming from someone that doesn't leave his house in weeks.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, how do you vacation from being locked in the house by going to another house to get locked in that? It seems crazy.
I think he's being spiteful and didn't want to go on a vacation and he's not going to have a good time in the back of his head.
You were showing your girl?
Yes, yes.
I hope that's...
passive-aggressive move.
I hope that's not what it was. Because I do, like, if this were... I don't like vacations, but if this is one of the more delightful ones that I'd be surrounded by, the amount of interference is minimal here. So, yeah, I mean, maybe you're right.
Definitely, subconsciously.
I got to be honest, Brian doesn't strike me as a guy who's passive about anything. Being passive aggressive, with his girl, you think?
With his girl, it's a different, he's robo-Bri. He's a different Brian.
Okay.
He's Rage Against the Machine when he's not with his girl. He is the machine when he's with his girl. Do you know what I mean?
Okay. I have seen the two of them out together, though, and he does still seem come off.
Did he have a load on?
Yeah.
Same, that's so different. That's
different. You're right. All right, good point.
That's the other thing is in my old age, I've gotten less comfortable being drunk around other people. Like, it was pretty much, it's sort of a hedonist weekend. It's all about eating and drinking, and everyone's making, they make their own beer, and like they have all these cocktails, and the food's incredible, and all that crap.
So are these like super hippies? Like, because you're a hipster yourself. No?
I call those sippies.
Because if they make you uncomfortable, just think how uncomfortable you make other people feel.
They're not hipsters. If anything,
talk about passive aggressive. That was Rob just backhanding Brian.
but you're saying like the whole guitar guy and the peace dude and the guy that sleeps in the sleeping bag outside.
What about the guy cowered in the corner reading Dante's Inferno with nine other people conversating have Brian read?
I would rather spend time on each of the levels of hell than with you. See you later. Assholes.
It's definitely what he's saying.
I feel like rockers are rockers, hipsters are hipsters. Like, I don't know that. I didn't know the difference. I don't want to.
See,
you don't have to.
I guess that's what I was going to get to. First of all, one thing: are you trying to lump in hippies with hipsters?
Somewhat, because
hippiesters. Exactly.
Ew.
Are Rage Against the Machine, kind of like my mom didn't hug me too much type syndrome.
Quite the opposite. There's a lot of mom hugging going on with the hippies.
Really?
Hippies love hugging mom. Mom loves hugging the hippies. Oh,
okay. When I look over at Rob right now, he just looks to me like the kind of guy that said they're both people I'd run over in my truck.
Exactly. That's what I was getting at.
Sleeveless t-shirt.
But I guess like if I had to like peg all these guys into one particular stereotype, it would probably be somewhere between hippie and yuppie. Like, they definitely were, they have good jobs and they're well paid, but, you know, this is beach time for them, so they're going to go and listen to their beach music. And if it weren't for like lots of the European contingents that were there and stuff like that, it would be a little too hippie, like. But
there's no swapping going on with couples. No, did you ever get asked to swap?
That's a vacation. Yeah, I mean, we're talking
because these excitement. Are the well, these are the people that seem like
Brian
they swap.
Brian swapped Dante's Inferno for Crime and Punishment.
No, really, no one's ever asked you. Hey, it's most put your key in the bowl.
Excuse me, young lady, but your boy Brian there looks attractive. Can we swap?
No, I get, you know, I don't know how to respond to that. No, it has not been asked of me. It's mostly like a singles thing. Like, this guy makes his money and centers around this whole
but
experience.
But it's singles in a confined area. So right. You have like, what, right. Like four or five different couples in a confined area. There's no sexual tension going
different
on.
Different vacation. That's a different vacation. That's when he goes to the Russian bathhouse. That's a whole different thing that he's going
but
to.
But there are a lot of singles with couples?
No, most of it is, this guy makes his money and most of the this whole thing is centered around the weekend share house experience. His clients or his customer base are people who have 9-to-5 day jobs, and they buy into this weekend thing. I'm going to go away for the weekend to go hang out at this resort, and then Monday I go back to work. Mm-hmm. And they get X amount of those weekends.
Not you.
Right. Mm-hmm. To fill up this guy's that means between the week, essentially no one's there. So he... For a little bit of money, you can go during the midweek and just fill up a bed that's going to be empty anyway. And that's what we do. We take the cheap alternative and we go
fill
out
up
there.
A bed.
And he's not trying, at that point, he's not trying to sort of manufacture this whole singles lifestyle. It's just whoever's there.
But I thought a singles lifestyle would be trying to hook up lifestyle.
He does. When this guy's going out and interviewing these people to join his share house. He's going to make sure that the personalities are going to work with the other ones there. He's got the ratios worked out, so it's like same amount
like blacks,
of single women
like-
as single men. And, you know, so that they can sort of hook up and stuff like that.
So he encourages hooking up then?
Yes, but he doesn't encourage couples. Couples aren't really welcome in that atmosphere.
What if you showed up with like a friend?
A
would
dude,
that
like
throw
a
everything
friend.
Off? Would he be mad?
I like, have shown up with a friend. As
a dude
fact.
Friend?
Yeah, I brought a dude around.
Dudes,
in actuality.
It's a fire island experience.
In actuality, dudes are the hard one to find for this. Because at our age,
I know.
Girls want to go away and have a good time. Yeah. And the guys just want to stay home, I guess, and play PlayStation.
I know.
So yeah, he's hungry for like guys to come over and even out the ratio,
no,
if you will.
Hungry for guys. Yeah. Come on. If you're hungry for guys or anything like that and you want to be a part of this, you can. 877-744-6405. That's 877-744-6405.
Brian, how many days did you stay there? Stay there at Fire Island?
Five?
5 days.
5 days.
Okay, guys, let's do a little game show. Let's go around the room. We're going to play Price is Right Rules. How much did Brian spend on his vacation, his 5-day Fire Island vacation?
You're talking about lodging or lodging,
I'm talking
eating,
everything.
Everything.
I'm talking all, everything.
The all-inclusive?
The all-inclusive.
Who's going first?
I'm
going
to go first since I brought it up. I'm going to say $3,500.
Oh, I think you're going way low.
Really?
I think you're going way low. For two people?
For two people. I'm thinking $3,500, which is... To me, it is. I would never spend $3,500 on a vacation.
See, I guess my idea of how much vacations cost is crazy to me because my vacation consisted of going to what was the hotel we went to that time, Keith? Howard Johnson's in Wayne, New Jersey.
I think it was $17 a night.
That's my idea of a vacation.
So, what do you think?
I don't 20, know. I was going to say like $5,000, but I don't know how much.
$5,000?
That's what I was thinking, but I don't know how much vacations cost.
Rob?
My lucky family. Oh, White S. Brent is suggesting $350 max.
$2,200.
Keith?
I think you're both insane. I was going to say 500, but...
I'll say
that's
1,000. That's the $1 bit.
And apparently, Dr. X is suggesting in the chat room that $3,500 is like a trip to Hawaii.
Yeah,
I have no idea. I don't know how much
for
things
one
are.
Person. That's $3,500 for one, I think.
I think 500, if that...
500?
I think 500.
Can I change my guess now?
Sure.
$1.
No.
No, I would say $2,000 then.
$2,000?
But Rob said 22, so I lost already.
What was it, Brian? You know, as a guesstimate?
Yeah. All said and done, after like the certain amount of money to pay him, the transportation money, food and drinks.
I just had to bring enough egg salad for everyone to eat, but it was with frozen eggs.
$700. for the both of us.
See, it's pretty cheap.
For the both of you? That's why we go there, because it's like an expensive vacation. I mean,
including booze?
That's everything. That's the thing about this the $700
each or $700 between
total,
the two of you?
Total.
Wow.
And that's I mean,
you're ghetto. Why don't you go to a more expensive vacation?
Because I'm poor. I'm trying to get away with not spending money, and my girlfriend has to have a vacation. Like, she needs to get away. And I don't like it. That was too much money for me. I didn't want to spend that money.
So Keith won it. Keith got it. Keith was closest. Yeah. Congratulations.
That means I get to be the dude next time he goes on vacation.
Oh, awesome.
But I go there, and I mean, I ate like a king. We had ribs the first night. We had like this weird – every one of them takes turns cooking, and they make these fantastic meals. And all the staples are there for me to like.
Oh, so this guy
makes
the meals for you there.
He did make one meal. He smoked the ribs, and we had like this huge.
Oh, he sure did.
All of us ate like this great homemade ribs with his like homemade rub and his
sauce, special sauce.
Very special, sweet yet tangy sauce.
I would not feel comfortable with the guy making me my food. Oh,
he's great,
man.
And he's a great cook, and he's a fabulous. And gentleman.
He's fabulous. Gentle. He's gentle. Like, he touches you gentle. Like, I don't understand.
I was just making a joke. I'm sorry. Okay. But no, we had shrimp tacos another night, and it was amazing food. And on top of that, like, he's got a fully stocked wet bar. He's got all this homemade beer, and he's 20 feet from the beach. So you walk out of the beach and drink a beer when you're cold, come back in.
So, Brian, would you say now that you are happy that you went and don't regret that you didn't go? Remember, you were whining about it 2 weeks ago.
I didn't necessarily like to go. If I had my druthers, I would not have gone. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I'm going to make the most of it while I'm there. And yes, I'm not being passive aggressive about it. I didn't want to go. I didn't want to.
You were so happy that the weather was bad. And you, deep in your mind, the weather was bad. You were like, this is an excuse that we could stay in, and she's not going to bother me.
It made
and
me feel.
Here's your vacation.
Yeah.
Here's your vacation covered in gray.
Yeah, we spent $700 on rain. Rain.
It made me feel good that I didn't have to make excuses.
Could have gotten a spare PS3 for this and had enough for 6 games.
It was good that I didn't have to make excuses why I wasn't going out on the beach. But other than that, I mean, I was happy to stay in there and read. And when I'm on the beach, I'm swimming. I'll go out on the beach and I swim and get me out of the sun because I don't want to burn to a crisp.
You go shirtless?
Yeah.
And wait, Speedo? You can wear the
Speedo. No, I wear like a man's bathing suit.
Man's bathing suit.
Pajamas.
Cut off. Pajama bottoms. Well, that's great, man. You had a good. It sounds like you had a good time.
I enjoyed eating. Not so much drinking.
It looks like it. It looks like
Thank
it.
Thank you. As I mentioned, I can't. I was getting psyched up to be able to like drink a lot of like really nice cocktails and all this kind of great stuff. But I just didn't. I wasn't in me. I didn't feel like. I didn't feel like being around these people and drunk. So I waited until the night that I got
home. What kind of people? What do you mean by people?
What do you mean by in you?
You would feel weird getting drunk in front of the strangers?
I wasn't into it. I wasn't like having fun. I would have a cocktail here and there, but like I waited until the night that I got home, and within a half an hour, I had 5 7-and-7s in me.
Well, are you afraid if you get drunk that you're going to your ambitions are going to come out? Inhibitions, you're not going to have any, and you're
gonna, your ambitions. You'll get ambitious all of a sudden and want to accomplish things.
Not really, because I was already throwing around. I was already pretty uninhibited while I was there. Like I'm kind of the jerk and saying off color comments and being wacky.
Imagine
I'm entertaining. I'm like the whole freaking world's a stage, including the freaking beast.
Chris, imagine not knowing Brian, and you paid $700 to go to Fire Island. And then you have Brian standing in your house, and in the house that you're in, like.
But he's pretty non-intrusive though.
You
wouldn't
think
have
so?
To worry about.
And this guy's cool. Like me and this guy, we got a special thing.
Any whiskey?
Oh,
yeah.
But
yeah, tons of whiskey.
You think he's not intrusive? If you didn't know Brian at all, you don't think one of his like his snide comments would set you off or something like that?
Brian strikes me as the type of guy that would try and stay away. I don't think that he would want to be like, hey, so what's going on over here, buddy? You know, I don't see that. You know, and if unless you're that type of person, how are you going to get in my way? How am I going to care?
I was making like kind of sarcastic comments that people weren't expecting, and it would take them back a little bit. But that was a joke, and they understood that it was.
Do Michael Jackson jokes?
Hey, what's going on? I hate your face. Like jokes like that. I'd like to stab you and your girlfriend to death. Ha ha, what's for dinner?
I think I was probably the guy behind a lot of the gay jokes. Like,
really?
Like a lot of the gay conversations that were happening. I was gaying it up.
I hope you didn't mention the radio show.
They the radio show did come up in conversation. Some people might be listening to it as we speak, as a matter of fact.
Oh, great. Well, welcome. Welcome to you. Welcome to Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Here on Heroes Talk, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
You're listening to Best in Show on HeroesTalk.com. The thing you do with your ears.
I just said that. Place to be.
This is Keith from Best in Show Radio. During the summer, the best way for you to wind down from a long day at the beach, the park, the PlayStation, or wherever it is you people with jobs go, is with your friends at Hear Us Talk. Join us every Tuesday night for the DJ New Style Show, live from 9 to 11. Thursday nights, catch Best in Show Radio, live from 8 to 11. And usher in your weekend with The What Show, Friday nights at 9:30, all times Eastern. Plus, on Wednesday nights, dim the lights and get your popcorn ready for 100K Presents. And remember some older moments on Monday nights with the Best in Show Radio Journey to the Past. All of this and more can be found at HearUsTalk.com and the Hear Us Talk Radio Room in Paltalk. And don't forget to check out our forums at RadioBronzeFans.com and get your hands on all the latest merchandise at HearUsTalk.Spreadshirt.com. All of this is brought to you by the Hear Us Talk Radio Network, the thing to do with your ears and the place to be.
My name is Kevin, and I'm one of over 1 million Americans who's a cancer survivor in their 20s or 30s, and one of nearly 70,000 young adults who are diagnosed with cancer every year. As a young adult, I found it hard to relate to the other survivors who were much older than me. All I wanted was to hang out with people my age who I could relate to. I felt like I was the only one going through this. Until I found the I'm Too Young for This Cancer Foundation, a global support community with an attitude just for survivors in their 20s and 30s. And finally, a place to fit in. I signed up at stupidcancer.com, and I was immediately connected to tens of thousands of other young adult survivors from all over the place, and a wealth of free programs, tools, and support resources. So, if you're the only one you know getting chemo without diapers or dentures, log on to stupidcancer.com and get connected with the next generation of cancer survivors in their 20s and 30s.
RonFez.net. HearUsTalk.com. Corby Audio. With special guest MC. The Vagabond Souls. The Vagabond Souls. The Vagabond Souls. Live. Friday, July 24th at 11:30 p.m. at the Bitter End. Vagabond Souls Live. Wow, where'd you go? 147 Bleecker Street, between Thompson and LaGuardia. New York, New York. Friday, July 24th, 11:30 p.m. The Vagabond Souls at the Bitter End.
It's Best in Show. BestinShowRadio.com here on Heroes Talk. Vagabond Souls record release show. That's next Friday. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be wearing pants. I hope you're there too. And we can talk to each other about pants.
Chris?
Keith, will you be there?
I will be there.
Will you be wearing pants?
Maybe.
So, I'll short pants at the very least.
I'll wear short pants.
It's going to be a good time. I'm excited. I'm excited to check out some good music.
Brian, maybe in sweatpants?
I'm sure. He couldn't possibly wear anything more dressy than that. It's going to be exciting. I'm looking forward to it.
Buddy Dom.
Yeah, indeed. It's going to be a big night. Vagabond Souls record relief.
And who's that MC? Special guest
that
MC?
That would be Barb. A certain young lady, Barb, is going to be emceeing the evening. It's going to be a good time. So we'll see you guys all there next week.
How many bees is she bringing with her?
I think there are going to be 6 or 7 bees. Ooh. I don't know. I don't know specifically. It hasn't been specifically said, but I think if we're talking 6, at least 6, maybe 7.
I heard she's going to throw it back to the past and bring like 4 A's.
Whoa. See, I thought there were a lot of eyes there, though. I don't really remember all the stomachs. What do I know? But it's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. I got a little something on my mind. I got a little something on my mind that's been bothering me as of lately. What, that I have a mind? That's not a lie. But I've been spending some time lately thinking, or not so much thinking, but I've been seeing a lot of people lately that have been... How do I say this? That basically there are people who feel like they're kind of getting over and think they're being slick about things, and they're blatantly obvious about the things that they're being slick about, and I want to yell and scream in their face about the fact that they're not getting over. Does that make any sort of
sense?
No,
you're going to have to give me an example. I'm sorry.
It's kind of hard. It's kind of hard for me to do it without being the jerk that that I don't want to be.
I gave Keith topics this week, bro. Oh, come on.
No, I understand.
All right, well, use an example. I'm going to make it easy to try to make it anonymous, I'm just going to give you a mechanism, and maybe you can sort of metaphorically.
Okay. I'll give you an example from my past. From my past. A long time ago, I had a friend of mine who had a drug problem. And this friend who had a drug problem.
That's a really common way to hide that.
No, who had a drug problem. And this friend who had a drug problem made a habit of freeing people of some of their personal belongings and then selling it for his drugs. You know, he robbed from a few people, including friends. And
you know my brother?
Yeah, obviously. But this person explained to me one night, he was telling me a story about another friend of ours who did the same thing and said, man, that's so messed up that he did that to these other people. So messed up that he did it. And that night he went on to rob me. He robbed me while he was sleeping over at my house. So it was just like he thought he was being extra slick, but was so blatant about the fact that he was doing it. He was like he was being so overt that he thought, oh, there's no way he could suspect me of doing something like that.
But he still got over on you.
Did you confront him?
He didn't get over on me. I confronted him years later.
Oh, you didn't confront him right after?
At that moment, I didn't know it had happened. Right. I found out the next that he got over on me that moment, but hours later, I realized what had happened after he was gone from the house.
Because if he didn't tell you that he stole stuff from other people's house and then you just was robbed, you wouldn't have suspected him as much.
No, he was the person who was at my house when money disappeared. But I'm saying the cover for it was he decided to start talking about another friend of ours and their habit for stealing money.
Horrible.
So that's what I'm talking about. Someone that's so slick but not slick at all.
Bad liars.
I've been experiencing a lot of this lately. When I see people doing things like this, and I see people trying to be slick and trying to be undercover about things that they're doing or what they think is being undercover, but then they throw little snide comments here and there and they think that no one is in on it and they're away with it. It makes me so mad to think that they're getting over. And again, these are things that don't affect me. These are things that shouldn't bother me even in the least.
What of recent?
He can't.
I don't want to be the guy.
Yeah, but is it work or is it internet-based
everything.
People?
Work.
Show.
I'm not even going to. No,
internet, people on the show, and people, there's three channels, I think. People you work with. Well, four. People you work with, regular friends outside of work and internet, and, you have your internet people, and then you have your.
No one from the show, no one from internet friends from the show.
True, there's another category. Damn.
Oh, I've got tons of screwed up people. All the thing
is, family.
The thing is, it's
Rob
not,
forgets about that.
It's not just one.
Two little girls, Rob. Hello.
Dad, daddy.
It's not
Where's
just,
daddy?
It's not just one. I see it all over the place. I see it in multiple places. People who think they're slick. And it just irritates me. It doesn't mean anything. It means nothing at all. It means even less than a
break. Is it the old, don't play me for a fool?
But it's not him that's
They're not
playing
me for a fool.
But in general.
Not playing. It's showing up you're trying to come off like you're Johnny Smooth when you're a douchebag.
Yogi Bear.
You're so blatant about everything and there's nothing discreet about what you're
doing.
I got
your picnic a basket.
Yeah, it's aggravating. I'm sorry. Brian?
Is Brian does it?
Obviously. It was Brian.
Has anyone on the show done it? You're talking about that type of thing?
The closest to that on the show is people lying about where their topics come from. For the show, lying about having their topics ready. And that's not really a big deal, though. That's not what I'm talking about.
Like
that doesn't make me that crazy.
Like I did before.
Like you do week in and week out constantly?
What do you mean lie about their topics? They're saying they have more than they have?
Saying that they did a topic, that they did anything. Fred. Making believe that they came. Here doing any preparation.
Who's ever made believe? No one's ever asked.
No, I know.
If anyone's ever asked me how, if I prepare,
I have my topic list right here.
Wait, what are you just writing?
It has to be work people that are listening that you don't want to out.
It has nothing to do with not wanting to out anyone because of the specifics of them knowing or them being here. I just don't want to do it. It's something that's irritating me, and it's bothering me enough that I want to bring it up.
Tell me it's this.
But it's not bothering me enough that I would want to expose somebody.
I was at the deli today. I bought a 2 liter of soda that I see on the pricing. It costs $2.25. I bring it to the counter. Guy says $2.75. Now I say, oh, it says $2.25 over there. And the guy says, oh, really? And he has to go – he doesn't even believe me. He has to go over to the counter, make me wait,
I wouldn't believe you either.
Bring it over, and say, okay, it's $2.25. Now, I think in his head he knew it was 225, but he was...
So you're thinking that he was trying to get over on you for 50 cents,
yes.
Whereas I think that he thought you were trying to get over on him for 50 cents.
Okay, so... I got.
I say you guys should have each given each other a quarter and called the whole thing off.
No way. Not if it's at 225.
250. Let's settle in the middle. You gotta barter in this day and age.
But
times
you gotta
haggle.
But are you kind of talking like that, like a deli owner getting over on you and things like that?
No. I think somebody just
running game that has a game, whatever the game is, and
is
Chris
it more mind
it,
games like
see,
that. Like,
personal interaction.
Games. Yeah,
personal interactions. Right. People that I see thinking that they're being slick about. Cheating on their significant other, let's say.
I didn't.
Claiming that they're doing some sort of work that they're not.
Are they gloating? Is it more of like gloating to you, but and they're lying about this gloating, and that you know that they're lying about it, yet they're saying it?
In being so proud of what they're not doing, but making believe they are, I'm taking it as a gloat, and it's making me nuts. And none of it is a direct, I want to make it clear, none of this is a direct attack to me, other than the fact that I hate looking at their stupid face, thinking that they're getting over on the world, and I want to smash it, because you're not getting over on anyone, you stupid dick.
See,
we know everything that you're doing.
You know
that's
what,
all.
Jack Swede.
I think what people need... Sorry, Brian. I feel bad.
You know what this conversation...
Sorry, other me.
That's okay. You want a hug?
Later.
All right. You know what this conversation is doing to me? And I hate to like sidetrack the where this was going. I can't really...
It's not going anywhere.
Yeah. But it make when you started thinking that, my immediate thought is, what did I do? Like, what have I done that
all
has irritated Chris that he's not willing to actually come out and say about me? Now, I'm relatively confident that it's not me that he's actually talking about. There's definitely a part of me back there. But if I was an anonymous friend of the radio show listening out there in Radio Land, any of these guys in the chat room, I'd be kind of like, he's definitely talking about me, and I'd be rattling my brain trying to figure out what I did that he's lying. All of these listeners now are sweating you.
And our buddy Walter Sotek says he was thinking the same thing, Brian, but I think he means that he thought it was you, too.
See, I was on the total opposite spectrum. I was like, who is he talking about? It can't possibly be me.
On my life, it's got nothing to do with anyone related to the radio.
It's like whenever someone even suggests guilt, I just assume I'm guilty. Like, I did something, and let me try to figure out what I did wrong. And I'm starting to make up things that I didn't do. Like, maybe he's thinking that I did this, and now I've got to protect myself
from
something I didn't
do. Will you be my defense attorney?
You thought you were getting over. You did do it, though. By the way, Dr. X points out that little rant that I just went on goes on with the same thing of me a couple months back when I was screaming about smug-looking persons, smug-looking people looking at their
faces.
It's the same thing. It's the same people doing the same thing that they think they're getting over. They think they've been getting over for months.
But this is a more interaction because the smug faces you just see across the street, you don't know the person. Now you're involved with
the person. Or maybe my smug faces thing was about someone in particular.
Exactly. That's exactly what it was. That's the problem with Chris is he's not ready to insult anyone. Like, he doesn't want to come on here and say something.
Chris,
so,
what'd your mother do?
What do you mean?
What'd your mom
do? No, he's
not
a boy.
That was her biggest crime.
He'll go
not
into graphic detail about why he hates his family.
No, because I know everybody here knows it's about a specific person. Everyone here is wondering who the hell.
It's not about a specific one person. The thing is, I notice it as a recurring theme.
Is Brian clumped in with the
person?
No.
You've got one in the chamber right now. You've got a face locked on, and you've got an event that person did.
You know what I think? I don't know if this may be unrelated to what, like, may not be exactly what Chris is talking about. But a lot of times people will sort of be like for example, let me use the show as an example. And obviously, not sarcastically, this is hypothetical, but say I'm talking to Fred.
I didn't do it.
And I'm going to leave Brian out intentionally for his psyche, but say I'm talking to Fred about...
Wait to get to a point. It's like 30 seconds already.
Wow.
Wait, what?
Hey, don't you talk to my Keith like that, Rob.
I can't even believe it. Rob just grew a set of balls instead of
no,
Keith.
No, I love it.
Keith,
I
get to the point.
No, I love
Keith,
that
get
about
over
him
here.
Because he'll bounce and like come back, and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry.
I love it. Now get to the point.
I said way to get to the point.
All right, so Brian's producing next week.
Want me to take
that's it? So say I'm saying to Fred, like, I'm talking about Chris. And then we're like talking about Chris and like and how we're gonna get over on Chris or something, or just like anything in general. And then like Fred is being all smug towards Chris, you know, but like
in our conversation,
what he does, right. yeah, you're being all smug towards Chris, but what you don't realize is that like I'm going to Chris and telling him, yeah,
everything
his
I said,
a jerk. You know what I mean?
Well, that's like, why I really never put my hat on.
And then so sometimes like when somebody when that's the case and somebody's just like, you know, it's just kind of like you idiot. You know, like, I know exactly what's going on. You
and again, it's not a matter of people like, you know, that there's double crossing going on and someone's letting me into the real scoop. It's the fact that it's just so obvious. Your motives are so obvious and what you're doing is so
That's
obvious.
That's a good point. Motives. I think you hit it on the head with motives. People's motives.
What about them?
No, I'm just saying. I think that wraps it up as far as everyone has a motive out there. That's why everyone feels guilty in their own way of anything because of motives. You have your own motive towards anything. You have motives of when you're – whatever it may be, of any motive. That's a really good word to capsulize everything.
What?
Because what is this person getting out of telling you this? What is their
intention? It's not telling. No, it's not telling. What's happening is someone thinks there's a secret, and they think they're so good at covering up their secret, but their secret is so obvious to the world that they're brazen about this secret being hidden.
Motive.
So they're just dumb. They're just dumb to the fact.
That's for Walter Soch.
They're just dumb to the fact that
they're blatant, they're obvious when they think they're being slick, and because they think they're being slick, they have stupid faces, and I want to smash them.
Oh my god!
Like a Mark Teixeira face. Have you watched baseball in a while? Have you ever seen that guy Mark Teixeira?
Yes, I think he has a motif motive, as Dan and Cal say.
Google up a picture of Mark Teixeira and look at his face.
He's got a face?
Oh, it's smug. Oh, gotcha. It's smug.
Am I really the only one that thinks that?
This is about you?
Yeah. Like, no, I'm not. I no longer think that this is this particular one or one of the several examples that's floating around in Chris's head right now is about me.
But if Chris was going to have feelings about someone on the show like this, it would definitely be about
me. Maybe, but that's not what I'm saying.
I'm going to go so far as to say, though, I think I've been pretty blatant. What is happening to the table that noise is happening here?
Brian's guilty. It's him, though.
I know it is. But Brian is the one person here, or the person here who I think has the thickest skin, that if there was an issue with Brian, and I did have an issue with Brian, I would actually be able to take it up with him. I have in the past.
I would hope. I would feel so much better if someone had a problem with me that they come and tell me what that problem is. The fact that, like, you might be having conversations with someone behind my back about this weird something that I did wrong, ugh. That like that feels bad, and I'm saying it on behalf of like the audience. Any one of these people who might be in there, am I crazy? None of these people
in the
audience is thinking that maybe they did something wrong by Chris. No one's sweating.
I swear to you all, it has nothing to do with anyone in any of the Hear Us Talk audience that I know of. Anyway, you could be listening anonymously someplace, jerk face. Wow. But yeah, I don't have any sort of problem with it. It's no one like that. It's someone that it's people that I interact with very closely on a very regular basis.
And they don't listen to the show.
Yeah.
They do listen to the show.
No.
No.
Yeah.
See, I just can't believe. Okay.
Dan in North Cal is saying he apologizes, Chris. I'll try and change.
Right.
I'm going to bring this back just a little bit because I'm envious of you.
Why is that?
For some way. So for some reason, I went onto the Hear Us Talk forum for the first time.
No, you didn't.
In I don't know, how many years? How many years has it
ever
been?
Ever.
Where are you looking?
37?
And the first post that I read is this crazy Craig Coleman post. That's the first thing I go to. The first thing, because that's like the thing that's like the
is that who you're talking about, Chris?
It's the place to be and the thing to do with your ears.
Because it says today on it. I'm like, this is the new thing that's going on, so let me read this post.
Is this the guy that you think is trying to get over? And he's so dumb about not getting over.
No, I said it's not.
This totally fits. It's Craig Coleman.
Well, here, this is
it's got nothing to do with Craig Coleman.
This is the reason why I'm bringing this up, because I was reading the post, and as I read the post, I said, one, this would make a great monologue for me to do one day, a stage reading, and two, that I am so envious of this person that he's so passionate about something. Like, I, even in the self-defense of myself, I don't think I could be that passionate, you know, because he's defending himself, whatnot. You know, I read the post before it, but
I couldn't
like,
understand.
I can't believe Chris's passion about this person's smugness and getting over. You're so passionate about it. I just don't have, I can't muster up those feelings
for really anything.
Yes, I actually have feelings. I have feelings and emotions, Fred. One day, I'm hoping that you'll be able to discover them.
But I don't know why...
Not to your face, apparently.
The feelings are so strong when you could be channeling them to other places.
I do. I channel them to marvelous places all over the
when
place.
When you talk about it, you're very impassioned. You're very passionate about it.
I still am filled. I still filled get with rage, filled see? With yeah. anger yeah. and rage.
Well, that's what
when
I can.
Think about a son of a bitch that thinks that I'm getting over on you. You're not getting over on anybody. We all know. Every one of us.
Craig.
Every single one. No, it's got
it's
nothing
not,
to do with Craig.
It's definitely not Craig
It's got nothing to do with Craig Goldman. Stop fueling the fire.
I'm well, getting ideas as we go.
Because what you're trying to do now is you're trying to get him to start posting about me in the forum. And that's not what this is about. I got nothing to do with him. In a bad way. I mean, as a good way, I think he's terrific.
There's some
it's fabulous.
That would make... yeah.
what?
No, I just had a brain fart.
Way to get
just,
to the point, Fred.
I just can't. I just don't understand why you feel this way, and that the feelings are so strong. I don't know what it is.
It's just a general. That. It's a general feeling with the world. The same way that Brian gets so angry when someone leaves their bag on a chair in the train that he has to throw it out of the moving door. But it's something
that's
that's irritating to me. It's something that gets my goat.
You haven't heard the exact example. I can totally understand exactly where he's coming from. And the moment that he grows some balls and actually says the actual example, you'll probably be angry about it too. You'll probably be irritated by the...
Johnny UPC points out in the Heroes Talk Room, it was Chris to my daughter over the goldfish. She finally figured out that I've been killing the goldfish over and over again.
Willie Queso.
Do you know I haven't had a fish in that tank in about a month and a half? I cleaned the tank for the first time yesterday. They've been at the doctor.
Your girl forgot about? Oh no, you still have to
no,
say.
No, I brought the fish to the doctor.
His girl. He's been lying to his wife about it.
Yeah, no, honey, I brought the fish to the fish doctor. Don't worry, they're coming home soon.
Why she believes it.
Why are you cleaning tanks when there's no fishes?
I clean. I sleep with the fishes. No, I cleaned the tank yesterday because I'm going to be getting new fish this weekend. I'm letting the tank get primed for a couple of days, and I'll be getting new goldfish. And they'll be dead in 10 minutes.
Well, how are you going to explain this away to your daughter? The goldfish hasn't been there for a month, but hey, it's back.
They've been at the doctor. That's what I just said. I sent them to the doctor, and they're getting taken care of. They're taking medicine. He might look a little different when he comes home because he's been on medicine.
I don't know. I've been talking to your daughter a lot.
She's pretty bright.
I think she might figure it out.
Yeah, I'm sure
she might
have.
That run might be at its end.
Did you read that crazy post that I was talking about, Chris?
I don't know what you're talking about. I think that there's lots of things that go on in the Radio Bronze Fans Forum that are very exciting and intriguing. And if you're not a part of it, you should be. Head over to RadioBronzeFans.com. Register today. Be a part of it. It's a magic, magic place. There's all sorts of postings and talkings and people yelling at each other for all different crazy things. It's exciting.
It's very exciting.
Hey, you know what? It's a wonderful world. It's the internet. That's what message boards and the internet are all about. People fighting over craziness. It's good stuff.
My favorite part of the post, can I just tell it to you? I know you don't want to talk about it. Can I keep bringing it up and it makes you so uncomfortable?
I feel like I don't want to get involved in something that is like kind of sort of crazy. Okay, you guys want to be crazy, then be crazy. It's fine.
Really?
I just don't want to be in the
even
middle
if
of
it happens on your
and
site.
If you've got a smug face,
even
it's a
if
different
it
story.
On your site, it's just weird that the first thing that I read on the site is this, and I'm just blown away. And I'm just wondering if our whole site is like this. Is it filled
with... No, it's a magical place. There's lots of things that people post about TV shows and radio shows and all sorts of maddening things all
what
over
show?
It. And internet is the Watch Show, by the way, newest member of the Heroes Talk family. The Watch Show this Friday night. They'll be on. Very exciting stuff.
You can become an administrator and get rid of spammers like I've been doing for the last 5 minutes.
That's what you do during the show?
No.
But my favorite part of the post is this long diatribe, and then it comes to the end, and it says thank you, like sincerely, and the person's name. And then it says, P.S., I killed you. And I just found that so.
But this is what
so odd.
But this is what social networking sites and forums and web forums are about. People beating each other up. Fred, let's be honest here. For about, I guess, the better part of the last 1,600 years, you were in a band called Monty Love. The Monty Love and the Monty Love message board was nothing but a boiling cesspool of people fighting with each other constantly.
I never
every
went
day.
Up.
But that's
website?
What every forum. Yes, they had a website. Your band, you guys were great.
See, that's crazy.
But that's what
was that long ago?
That's what forums are about. Every other day on the message board, I'm Veal Chop, our own Veal Chop from the Awful Hour. He and I are fighting about something on that board every other day. It's what message boards are for.
So
what fighting.
Is that what it's for? So anyone could say anything? You think that anyone has the right to say anything on your forum?
Of course.
Horrible things about you or in your family, you think people have the right to do that?
They don't have a right to say, hey, want to see this girl get it good? Come to this. That they don't have a right to say.
I think they have more of a right to say that than say something about your family.
No. The internet is no holds barred. If I'm on the internet, I'm an anonymous user, and I'm fighting with Chris on the internet, and I find out that that's his Achilles heel, I'm going for it.
I think anyone on the show.
That's how the internet works.
Whether they call the show has a right to say whatever they want.
If somebody says, P.S., I killed you and your family. Like, you're not going to be bummed out about that? You're not going to go crazy about that?
I might be bummed.
Yeah, but he knows it's the internet. He knows that it's fake.
I don't know if Chris knows it's the internet. I think Chris takes it serious. Chris takes the internet serious.
As long as they don't have a smug face while they're doing it, everything works out fine.
More importantly, what did Veal Chop do to you?
Oh, it's not him. I told you it's got nothing to do with the radio show or the forum or anything like that.
So you're really saying anyone could just post anything and you would be fine with that?
As long as it's not really illegal. I mean, I'm not saying that I would be excited about it.
A year or two ago, you banned Pickle from putting Ice Watch Think of Best in Show on the message board.
I thought it was a great idea.
No.
I do not have a problem with people. Okay, to give this a frame of reference, about a year or so ago, we actually asked people to submit logos for something. Somehow it came up, and our buddy Pickle, also from the Alpha Hour, ironically, submitted a logo. It was like the I Love New York logo, except instead of a heart, it was a swastika.
Oh, it's Pickle that has a smug face?
And where it said New York, it said Best in Show, or BIS, I think it was. So it was I Swastika BIS. Oh. And it's not that there's a problem with people putting...
You don't have a problem with that? That's messed up, bro. Bro, that is messed up.
I am not banning people from putting swastikas wherever they want. I am saying if you're going to try and associate this show with a swastika, I am going to take the show's name out of it because the show isn't we are against swastikas. At least two-thirds of the show is against swastikas.
I actually had an issue with that. When he did that, a little behind the scenes, I was a little aggravated by it. And I think I even talked to him.
You said it should have went up?
I think not only that, I think I might have on the air came up with the idea. And Pickle followed through with my suggestion by actually going in and doing it, making it happen. Like, yeah, and I made the joke. I was like, what a great idea for this stupid little T-shirt thing. And, I mean, yeah, it's tasteless and probably not very funny. But the fact that it existed, I thought was great. And I had a problem with us being involved in what I considered censorship.
Really?
For that
yeah.
reason. I had a big issue with it. I think that I Swastika Best in Show should exist.
Is that where the Italian Mussolini came from when we made that up?
That wouldn't be a swastika.
Because Chris banned it.
That was.
You know, he's kind of with. He was with the groom.
Did he have a sign, Mussolini?
I don't know.
It was like a plate of spaghetti.
Yeah.
A swastika made out of little strands of spaghetti with sauce. That's exactly what it was. Yeah, I don't have a problem. There should be the freedom there if people want to do something. But if they're associating our name with it, I'm not all that
psyched
about it.
I disagree. I think that's the nature of the internet. You're allowed to say all the horrible, horrifying stuff, even if it's not
so,
you.
So a post saying, I want to kill you, like this post, you know, that's fine to just have out there and you know, you're not a little worried
that? Again, this particular post that we're talking about, I don't think he literally means death.
I don't know. I
think he means like I crushed you in this little internet.
But
battle.
there was some lines in there that looked like he was challenging him physically. In my opinion.
Okay. You know what? I leave that up to everybody to interpret it as they choose. Go ahead over to RadioBronzeFans.com. Sign up. Log on. Be a part. It'll be magic.
I just don't know. I don't know if everything should be allowed up on the website.
I think Fred should stop going to the forum.
Oh, I will. Believe me. Oh, that's it. That's I'm done.
I hope he doesn't come across the posts with his name in them.
Oh, my God.
Funny,
oh, my God.
The old Funny Fred posts.
Oh, he'll be very upset.
Sometimes I've been in front of the not a lot less recently, but in the past, I would be on a forum and I would
Ooh,
be like,
please,
oh, man.
Fred, don't read
thank
that.
God Fred doesn't read the forum. Well, thank God Fred's wife doesn't read it because I think she'd get mad at her.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, no, it's wonderful. I think the internet's great. I think people should be able to fight about everything.
I think it's horrible.
And
I think
say
it's
whatever they want.
Horrible.
Where else would you get porn from?
Well, that's well. Yeah,
so then you love the internet.
I'm not interacting.
But you love the internet.
I love the internet as a
porno.
Porn medium,
as a porn.
Not as a social medium.
So enjoy it for that. Enjoy it for that. Take part in it the way that you choose.
Oh,
I'll spend tons of time on Pal Talk. I'll sit there. Well, when I can. I've been working a lot lately, so I haven't spent nearly as much time on Pal Talk as I wanted. But I spend time on Pal Talk and message boards and Facebook. I love all that crap.
I thought you're banned from Pal Talk, meaning that your new system doesn't...
No, I told you. I'm back on Windows. I'm back. Oh, that's I'm back right. in the New York groove. It's great.
I ban spammers while we're...
You know, at the risk of like taking this down a boring political road here for a second...
Too late.
Fred, you don't truly believe that things shouldn't, like, I don't know, legally exist, for example, on the internet? Like the idea, the swastika thing, or the threatening of families and stuff like you don't truly think that it should be censored?
The swastika thing, no, but I think there's a...
By the way, do you really say swastika, or do you say it that way because Brian's saying it that way?
Because Brian's saying it that way.
How do you say it?
Swastika.
Swa. Isn't it spelled S-W? It's S-W. It's swastika.
Wait, everybody say the word, and I'm not going to tell you what it is I'm looking for, but everybody say the word at least once.
Swastika.
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 I was the only one that would say swastika.
Swastika.
When I hear people pronounce it, the tika, it always stands out to me now. I was watching a Kids in the Hall episode, and the guy's like, you carved a swastika into me, and everyone was saying, and like in this bit, they're saying swastika. And I guess being from Brooklyn, it was always a swastika to me.
Like a sticker?
I pronounce swastika. Yeah.
Our buddy Pristine said that, swastika. It's a sticker of a swastika.
Oh, wait, they're not little stickers you put up
everywhere? No, you post them up all over the place of swastika.
Well, they're at my house.
I don't think the swastika should be banned, but I think if somebody says, I'm going to rape your child's face or something like that, something horribly, horribly offensive and... demeaning about someone that you love, I think that might be
You think that that person should be put in jail?
No, I don't think that person should be put in jail. I just don't think that the text should be able to live in the internet forever.
So you want posts to be deleted?
I think it could be damaging to a
young
person.
And I'm the Italian Mussolini. He wants to do this stuff, and I'm the Italian Mussolini.
You know, I don't know. What, you think that's bad? Really?
Well, okay, let's forget about it in the medium of the internet for a second. What if someone wrote a book or a little...
White as bread. Fred steals lunch from a kid in his class and he's worried about freedom of speech on the internet.
Forget about the internet
Great
for a second.
Call.
What if someone wrote a book about you and it's like a true life kind of book and at the end of it he said, P.S. I hate Fred and I think his wife should be dead.
I think I have a lawsuit if somebody writes a book about me, right? And I don't have
If it's an unauthorized biography, I think anybody could write that, no?
Yeah.
I mean, you could have a lawsuit if he said something incorrect about you, but if he feels that he wants your wife dead, that's not incorrect. Would you try to sue that person or try to get that book off the shelves because you personally don't like what it says?
If he said he wanted my wife dead in the book,
yeah.
I would maybe try to get it off the shelves. Yeah. I mean, why would you
but
want
you
that
know
out
what?
There?
No, you know
why?
Right.
Why would he want my wife? I mean,
I'm not encouraging that your.
Of
don't
course.
Suggesting that your wife should die. I'm saying that censorship should not exist.
Much like sometimes we hope that Fred doesn't go on the mess. I hope Fred's wife's not listening tonight.
But I think there's a difference, like because if a person that like is posting, and like the way that was done as a result. Of somebody stepping over the line in a conversation that's going on. But what if the same thing, if somebody created an account, wrote one post, and said, I listened to this show, or not even said, I listened to this show, Fred, I'm going to murder your whole family. Wouldn't that be looked at more as like a spammer that you might consider wanting to get rid of that post? Or is it the fact that it's anything, no matter how unpleasant, related to the show... Is it something you would keep?
He's clear.
I probably wouldn't, but I'm just wondering if...
I would rather see that post exist because he's clearly responding to a direct thing that has pertinence to the forum. He's not just coming in trying to spam
and sell something,
getting out. It's a very specific thing. I don't like... I mean, if I were Fred, I don't think I would like that someone's saying it, but I wouldn't want it to be gone.
Our buddy Entropy is suggesting in the Heroes Talk Room threatening someone, online or otherwise, is illegal.
That's what I mean. Brian,
if it's threatening...
All the more reason to leave it up.
Brian, if somebody posted on our forum, Brian, I know what time you come home. I know where your spare key is.
Right.
I know your address. I'm posting it all. I know when you go to sleep. I know when you get up to go to the bathroom. I'm going to kill
you. Well, what about just I'm posting your personal information up there? What about just that? I know your information.
Yeah,
I'm going to stop posting it all over the place.
Social Security.
You don't think you should – you're not going to be knocking on those the owners of those sites telling them to take those posts down?
I mean –
compromising personal security.
Yeah, but
I guess
that's different, I think.
That's
no, well, it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. Because really, the internet's a free world, you know, as opposed to in Brian's world. I thought it was like, you know, you really, anything and everything goes. And like, we went to even like bestiality, all this like wacky, and he's like, hey, it should just exist. We shouldn't
all this wacky,
anything. Hot,
erotic, sexy, great stuff like bestiality.
I think entropy brings up a good point, and what Rob just mentioned, you know, threatening information or text that is actually like, I guess, reflecting some sort of physical threat, a legitimate physical threat, or like passing out information so that other. I suppose that repercussions could exist from it, and yeah, in those like exceptional situations, to protect the person's identity or any of that, perhaps it should be removed from, for example, a forum. Mm-hmm. But he's right; those have legal bearing. Mm-hmm. Like those are things that are protected that. Have some actual laws that they can go to a lawyer and say, get this taken
down.
And
I'm talking in those extreme cases to be taken down. I'm not talking about stupid little posts saying, you know.
But you were. I mean, before you were talking about this stupid guy's going on a stupid rant about some other guy in the forum, and you're saying that's not very nice.
No, well, I said it had some threatening accusations within the post. That's what I was saying. If you didn't, I don't think you heard me. There was some threatening accusations, what I thought that would be physically threatening, that I thought that might have been looked into.
All right, okay. I didn't. I guess I didn't see those legitimate threats. I don't think he actually, like he said, he killed him. I don't think he went to his house and actually murdered him and then posted on the internet, hey, guess what, everybody, I killed him.
I actually, and again, not to keep rehashing this post again and again, but RadioBronzeFans.com. RadioBronzeFans.com. Go check it out. Enjoy it for yourself. And check out what we're talking about. It's exciting. It's magic. It's a wonderland. What?
Fred loves censorship.
He does, apparently. Apparently.
We had a couple of weeks break. You know, it was 4th of July. It was the big holiday.
Jesus' birthday. Holiest day of the Christian calendar. 4th of July. Independence of Jesus Day.
233.
Years young. Years 233 young. Years young.
Isn't Independence of Jesus Day for people that convert?
And I went to a friend's house. I went up to Pennsylvania, and I took a little vacation.
Yeah, I don't know why I just said so, I thought that somehow would add to the show. Let's fill the empty spaces with sound that have no relevance.
So I took a little vacation to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
That's where Jesus was born.
And in
in a manger, a tiny little manger in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. For
the
Jesus
little town
birthday.
Of Bethlehem?
Yeah, that very one. And I'm at a friend's place, and we're chilling in the backyard. And my friend in the backyard has a pergola. Does anyone know what a pergola is?
A pergola? He's like,
is this like a merkin?
Nope. I don't know. A pergola.
Pergola? Anyone know what a pergola?
I just heard this word and can't remember what it is.
A pergola is like a wooden structure that vines grow up and you have like a vine canopy. It's almost.
I thought that was like a trellis.
There was a pergola at the share house.
A trellis is a square. It's almost.
Of course there was.
Square pergola. Yeah, so like you have vines grow up it and you know, you get a nice shade, a natural shade.
I thought that was called a trellis.
No,
that's not
pergola.
A trellis?
It's pergola.
It's the first time I've ever heard that word.
What is a trellis?
Am a trellis is on the actual
the
side of the house that has the wooden things and the vines.
Oh, a sideways pergola.
A sideways pergola.
Okay, I got you.
This is more like a porch. It's like around, you know.
A vertical pergola.
And when you buy a new pergola, you don't have the vines up it.
So like a gazebo.
Almost like a gazebo, but a gazebo has a bottom to it. This doesn't have a bottom. This just has
a topless gazebo with no bottom.
And a bottomless gazebo.
And a proper roof. A gazebo actually has, like, you can stand under it and not get wet, for example. A pergola is open.
If Keith turns his computer around, Keith has a pergola up on his computer if you want to check it out.
Sounds filthy.
So a pergola.
Like a pregnant pergola.
But it's a new pergola, so he doesn't have vines growing up it yet. So what he does is he puts his these sheets and he clips them onto the top of the pergola so the sun doesn't come through. Until, you know, his vines grow up in a year or two. So
get this nice, fancy little thing and white trash it up as much as you possibly can.
Exactly.
Staple some things to it.
Bro.
Put some Skinner posters up on it, and it's just the same as those vines.
Actually, they were nice, like, sheets. They were, like, some Indian-like looking, like, mosaic-looking sheets. And they were nice. And when I was in, before I got up to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, I broke my pipe. And I was
sorry to hear that.
I was looking
for a doctor you could talk to.
There's no head shop on Staten Island for me to buy a pipe.
Really?
I have nowhere to buy apparatus to sell to smoke my weed from.
There's smoke shops all over the place.
Can I point something out to you that was pointed out to me not a week ago? As much as you insist that there is no head shop on Staten Island.
It's a horrible word. I hate the word head shop.
There is there actually is a head shop on Staten Island.
Is there really?
To smoke tobacco.
And as ridiculous as it is, do you know where on Staten Island it is? That little building in the center of the island called the Staten Island Mall.
No, really?
There is a tobacco smoke shop in the center of the mall that has things such as vapor.
Since when?
It's been a couple of maybe not long, like a month, month and a half.
Oh, okay. I haven't been there.
It has like vaporizers for dudes that just want to smoke. They want to vaporize the THC.
So I was once talking about how in the Kings Plaza Mall in Brooklyn, there was this place called the Plum Tree that sold
lemon juice haircuts.
That sold like bongs and rock t-shirts.
Not bongs, no, tobacco smoking like, water pipes.
Like bongs to get really a bunch of tobacco at once. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like
they make you do the talk there. Like if you're at a head shop and you're like, oh, is this where I could smoke a lot of weed? No. This is where you smoke tobacco.
As long as your weed is tobacco.
They don't let you call it bongs. They say water. This is water pipe. Water pipe. They make you like say the words. So
it's like that in Manhattan on 9th Avenue. There's the hydroponics warehouse, which it's for growing tomatoes.
Exactly.
It's if you want to grow tomatoes hydroponically on your kitchen counter.
So I was all excited to go to Bethlehem because I know Bethlehem has to have a head shop. So I'm like, all right, we'll go to Bethlehem.
Jesus smoked up.
So the day
he
that
smelled like patchouli, so he must have smoked.
God damn it.
The day that we're there, you know, we're chilling out inside of the pergola. And, you know, the sheets are on top of the pergola, you know, and in Pennsylvania, there's fireworks. You can have fireworks in Pennsylvania. It's allowed. So, you know, and we're chilling out there. And we say, all right, let's take the dog for a walk, and we'll go to the head shop. And we'll, you know, I'll buy myself a new bowl. So we take the dog for a walk. And this is probably about a 45-minute walk with the dog. And then we come back, and we go to the head shop. And
Jesus,
the head shop.
Dude, head shop.
The head shop, guess what? It's closed, bro. What? I don't know where they are. They must be choking it up somewhere.
It's 4th of July. Nothing's open.
This is the 3rd of July.
Oh.
This is before.
He was helping his friend set up his new pergola, the guy who owns the head shop.
So the head shop is closed, and we're like, oh, man. So we go back.
Dude, don't you have toilet paper and aluminum foil?
Listen, we go back, and we say, damn, the head shop is closed.
Can't you make a bong out of your shoe or something?
It's been 45 minutes, and we go back into the backyard. And the pergola, the sheets are on fire. The sheets are up in flames.
Oh, fireworks.
Listen, the guy that owns the house runs to his hose because the hose is in the backyard, starts spraying everyone with the hose, the pergola with the hose.
Everyone's
getting wet because we're all under the pergola. We walk into the backyard, you're under the pergola.
If there's a structure on fire, why do you go under it?
The fence.
Let's hide under a canopy of flame.
Like his, you thought you walked in, we came over the head shop and it was on fire, so we decided to camp there.
His backyard fence is higher than the pergola, so you don't know that the pergola is on fire until you get under it. Yes.
What?
So
that's
he
insane.
Runs to the fire hose, to his fire hose, to his backyard hose.
I love Mike Watt.
And puts the whole thing out, and out drops a bottle rocket from the from
pergola,
from the pergola.
By the way, according to the drinking game from our buddy Walter Sobchak, where everyone's up to like 17 shots for the word pergola.
So he puts out the fire, and, you know, the pergola has minimal damage. But there's only one neighbor that's shooting off the fireworks.
Of course.
And they know who the neighbor is. So the wife of the couple is super pissed.
Ooh.
Super pissed. And the dude is like, you know, chill. He, you know, he's a stony kid. He doesn't want to cause any trouble. The wife's pissed.
Yeah.
The wife goes over to the house and knocks on the door.
Ah, dude, he burnt my house
down.
No. What am I going to do? I don't want to worry
my
about
My wife's
it.
Really angry that you just make believe that you're okay with me yelling at
he
you.
He makes
for five
the
minutes.
Guy, he makes his kid come out and say he's not home. Meanwhile, we heard him just doing fireworks.
He's
not coming to
the front door.
He's setting off more fireworks, and he's not coming to the front door. Now the wife comes back and is super pissed. Now that's super. She calls 911. No, actually, she makes the husband call 911. Now the husband
and
calls.
They have 911 in Bethlehem,
absolutely.
Pennsylvania.
They have
that's
it everywhere.
Amazing.
They have it everywhere.
Where were they with Jesus?
Seriously.
So now the husband's on
Jesus
the phone.
Jesus actually comes if you call 911 in Bethlehem.
And this is the conversation.
No, it's not a sex line. It's the police.
This is the conversation.
It takes them three goddamn days, though.
This is the conversation to 911. Hey, hello, 911. My pergola is on. My pergola was just on fire. Pergola.
You are so high.
Pergola. pergola. No, it's not a garage. No, it's not a deck. No, no, no. It's not like a carport. A pergola. Pergola. It's like the thing that you...
Wait, sir, there's a burglar? There's a burglar coming into your house.
You set your burglar on fire? Is that what you're saying?
That's illegal, sir.
Because it's the thing that vines grow up, you know. Oh, okay, okay. No, it was on fire. Was on fire. I just put it out. Yeah, there's a guy next door doing doing fireworks.
Doing fire things on my pergola.
10 minutes later, a fire engine, fire truck comes, an ambulance comes, and a cop car comes. And now there's about...
Because they didn't know which of the emergency services could take care of the scene. They didn't know what it was.
Exactly.
It's either a burglar, a percolator is broken, or I don't know.
Did they send the SWAT team
That's
just in case?
That's what I was going to say, is a helicopter.
The percolator.
Or Tommy Pergola, a guy they went to high school with is choking on something. I don't know which it is.
So we heard there's a pergola in here setting things on fire.
So now there's about like eight.
How do you busy? You burnt the burglars? You burnt the burgers.
There's about eight civil servants now in the backyard, the small backyard, and all of them are like, oh, I like this. What's this called? The pergola. Oh, this is a pergola. Like, he had to say what it was called. Everyone was like,
it's a fire pit, is what it is now.
So then
that's the only reason why you're calling it pergola. Because you wouldn't have said this if this ridiculous thing of your friend talking about it over again.
I don't know. He brought up Merkin.
I never knew. I never knew of a pergola until I got there.
But that's what I'm saying. Okay, so it's because of this is why you're referring to it as this. Oh, you're saying you didn't even know the thing existed.
I didn't even know the thing existed. I didn't know what the hell it was.
Dude,
I might have seen them in my life.
Maybe days later, I was first introduced to the same word because someone showed me their pergola. I had no idea what one was either. I think it's like a new fad. Pergolas are going all over the city.
So now the EMS workers and the fire engines, engine guys and the cops have to go next door now because bottle rockets aren't allowed in Bethlehem. Only like ground fireworks like jumping jacks or fountains or snakes are allowed.
Jumping jacks jump, though.
They jump.
They're not bound to the floor. You have to tape your jumping jacks to the floor.
Isn't that stuff legal in New York, though? Like sparklers and jumping jacks?
Jumping jacks are not the same as sparklers. Sparklers are legal.
Or jumping jacks are not. Okay. So they go to this guy's house.
Punks are legal.
They go to this guy's house, and the guy denies the whole thing. You know, he denies. He says, oh, I'm not shooting off fireworks. You know, the cops go, if you shoot off another firework, and they call, you know, we're coming in and we're searching the house, and not another firework. Not another firework was shot from that point. But it was crazy.
The entire town, July 4th, was ruined.
And
thanks,
listen,
pal.
The head shop, the Stoners being closed, saved his whole house. Because if that head shop wasn't closed and we went in to buy a pipe, his whole house would have been in flames.
So where was the percolator in relation to his house?
It's
outside.
It's right outside, and it's almost attached to his house. It's attached to the back of his house, practically.
It's a deck, and you guys are calling it a pergola.
It's a deck with a roof that isn't a roof. It's like a deck with a half-built roof.
Keith could show
like
you
a roof without a roof.
I'm just trying to understand. So physically, though, his house would have burnt down.
His house would have burnt down if it wasn't for the Stoners getting high and having that store be closed on July 3rd.
Doesn't it make you think that maybe you should stop smoking pot?
No, it makes me think I should smoke more.
I'm totally lost. What did that have? What did one thing have to do with the other?
Well, because we took the dog out for a walk and we were going to stop at the head shop. And as we did that and we stopped at the head shop was closed. When we came back, the thing was the sheets were just starting to catch fire, and there was about a 3-foot hole.
Somehow I thought the pot smoke in the house was going to cause bigger fire.
Picture this: you got three people who have been smoking a lot of pot, and they go to a head shop. That's at least an hour and a half, at least
before they
just
get
like,
in the door.
That's like ooh, look at the shiny little stickers in the front.
We
and that's
spent,
like the first
when they get out of the car.
We would have spent at least a half hour there, and in a half hour, his whole house would have been in flames.
But that would have been such a great story for the show.
You would have gotten so high from his house if you just waited.
I don't know, but that would have been a horrible 4th of July story, man. Imagine your house burning down because of a bottle rocket. Do you go over there and kick that guy's ass after your house burns down?
I think you're spent at that point. Like, if your house burns down, aren't you kind of, like, emotionally... Aren't you at the... Not even the tail end, but aren't you in the middle of a hell that's going to be so emotionally and physically exhausting for you that you don't have time to go find out who did it?
No. Once you find out who did it, that's going to bring you to an even overbearing hell that you want to kill this person that made you this way.
God, if I came home and my house was on fire, I think, I'd just throw my arms up and I guess you win. Whoever did that, you win.
I guess you win.
Like, what do you do? How do you recover from something like that?
You don't. That was so.
You just look up in the sky and go.
So basically, you're suggesting that every victim of a house burning come home and kill themselves is more or less what you're saying.
I don't know.
Resign yourself to lack of life as soon as something burns.
What could you possibly?
Yeah, but like, what is your point of action at that point?
You know, like go to your neighbor's house and beat him up. You know, do you even have the energy to do something like that at that point? Are you just like, wow, my entire life has been ruined basically and.
Well, we probably wouldn't have seen the little bottle rocket stick come down if the whole house burnt down. Because when we put out the little fire, the three feet of sheet that was burning, we saw the little bottle rocket stick come down. Maybe if we came down and this house
later,
was on fire,
they would have found out it was a bottle rocket.
Yeah,
fingerprints,
you know,
DNA.
We knew it was this person immediately as soon as we came home, and that's why they went and confronted him. But the guy was a bitch and never came to his front door.
So that's it. You just let it go. It's over.
So we let it go, and that was it. That was my
he got away
Fourth
with
of July
He got
drama.
Over on you. He got over
he
on you.
He did get over on us.
And he knows
More
it.
Importantly, he got over on the pergola.
Yeah.
And what kind of guy is this? Is this like you know, like what type of person was this?
I never saw the guy. Never saw the family. Never saw the guy. Don't know what he looks like.
Smoke.
He must be a badass. He was lighting. He had fireworks. You know,
bottle
what I mean?
Rockets.
All I know is he's a grown up. He's a grown up lighting off fireworks. 40 years old.
There was a guy when I moved to Staten. There was this guy that was about 45. Moved to Staten Island, I should say. That used to set the whole block on fire. Oh. Like he would pull.
What? Like that he planned it? Like,
actually,
hey,
actually. He would, because they would be like
arson time.
Yeah, you always have the arson in the neighborhood. You always have that.
There was definitely,
or in the house if you're bored.
There was definitely years ago. I remember being at my a relative's house. My mother, my great aunt, we'd be at our house, and her son-in-law would be lighting off tons of fireworks, and then like it would get to the point where he would just take gasoline and just pour a little bit down the side of the curb
so
where there were no
trail,
cars,
like
just
flame.
To make like a trail of fire, like it just ended like let's just literally set the block on fire.
Jesus.
We're celebrating America.
It's a parent's nightmare. That is a parent's nightmare right there.
Well, I honestly, I kind of, up until this story, I kind of had put bottle rockets in the same category as, like, sparklers or those tiny little, like, snake
if you shoot
that are just so kind of
pointless. Bottle rockets are much more dangerous.
Bottle rockets are shooting firecrackers.
Yeah, if you tie four sparklers to something and shoot it at a pergola,
you've never. You hold on to a bottle rocket with your fingers and a stick, and you light it. You're like,
you're supposed
ballsy.
To put them
actually
in the bottle.
You break the stick off of them, and you call them something different. Where I come from, just saying.
Well, that's what I'm saying is that you can kind of do obnoxious stuff to show how
tough.
Hey, look how tough I am because you've got that fizzing part before it actually explodes, even if the worst happens, you're not going to blow your hand off. I never realized how that might have burned the house down.
Of course. Say if that goes into a gutter and explodes and there's leaves in the gutter, that's you're done.
I suppose the same thing could happen with a sparkler.
But think about it when you were...
toss a sparkler over the roof and there goes your pergola.
Think about it when you were a kid, though. You used to shoot bottle rockets at you. I mean, not bottle rockets.
Roman candles.
You used to have Roman candle fights.
Absolutely.
Roman candles, I totally have those in the same. Roman candles are big sparklers. We'd point them at each other and shoot them at each other. Like we'd hit each other with
Roman
balls. Of,
Roman candles are definitely like fireball mortars more than bottle rockets. Bottle rockets are thunder bombs on a stick.
Yeah, like, you didn't get shot close enough with that Roman candle. Did you?
Roman candles were like junior high school. It's like you got.
You get burnt. You'd have a good time with them. You'd definitely get hurt and you'd laugh.
But that's
your
ass
off.
Point. Isn't he saying they shot them at each other?
Yeah, yes. You do it. But it's not like
you hold it and you shoot it. Each other.
But
Roman candle fights.
Don't your clothes go on fire?
Unless you've,
and you pat them out.
Unless you've showered in like kerosene, then you're probably not going to burst into flames immediately. You're just it's most of the time they bounce off of you. Every once in a while, like one will get stuck there, and you got to like you know.
And you just wipe it off,
exactly.
And it goes off. You're fine. It's like a little fireball rocket machine. It's like a fun little party. It's exactly what a kid should be doing. It's the 4th of July. Your country's free. Burn each other up. Enjoy.
By the way, Keith Fu pointing out when Fred was making fun of a grown man lighting fireworks pointed out that he's a grown-up going to a head shop.
Good point. Very good point.
Excellent work.
It's Best in
Face.
Show. Oh, man. Best in Show. Best in Show. Radio.com. Here on Heroes Talk. Thing you do with yours. Place to be. If you want to be a part, you can. 877-744-6405. Instant Messenger. Pal Talk. HeroesTalk.com. Magic. Wonderful. Stuff. As you're talking about all the things there, I guess it's kind of almost like a perfect segue. As you talk about being a kid and having Roman candle fights, just screwed up things that you did as a kid and weird things that you did as a kid. I had an interesting experience this week. My wife calls me at work about 2 days ago and says, "We have a little problem." I'm just like, "Okay, what's the little problem?" Your daughter has a new habit. She likes to go into the corner of the room and when no one's, make sure no one's looking, and spits in the corner of the room.
Really?
Inside the house. I was like, wait, what do you mean, spits? She's like, well, I was sitting in the other room on the computer while she was inside watching TV, and I hear, like, I'm hearing this sound, and I stick my head up, I'm like, what's that sound? And my daughter just looks up, like, it's the nervous, like, nothing. And she goes, oh, okay, puts her head back down, and then she hears the sound again. But instead of asking the sound, my wife looks over and catches my daughter spitting in the corner of the room.
Father, like daughter.
Exactly. She's found a way to mark her territory, I guess, in some way or another, that she's decided she's going to start spitting in the corner of the room. And she thinks it's a hilarious little thing. And you know what? It's a weird thing that a kid's doing. I don't think it's that big a deal. As I found out later, she had eaten a blueberry ice for the first time that day, and her spit was probably coming out blue. So it was very exciting for her that she was spitting blue. So, of course, she's going to start spitting blue fire into the corners of the room, like she's supposed to.
Is that what it, I bet you that's exactly,
yes, right. That's exactly what it was. As a streak on the side of my couch that is now permanently blue can attest. That has something to do with what she was doing. But that's fine.
The sound you made did not suggest a spitting.
Mainly because I don't want to spit on the microphone that's in front of me, so I'm not giving it that.
Yeah.
But it was almost like
that stuff.
It wasn't before. Like a two spit. It was like almost like a drooling saliva.
You gotta teach her how to spit properly.
Yeah, I know.
Spit like a man. What's the matter with you?
You know, but
enroll her in softball.
You know, get her some tobacco. Get her some chew, and she'll be fine. She'll learn how to spit proper and get some distance on it. But so that's fine. That's the thing you should do. But the thing that struck me more than anything else was my wife saying, like, explaining the catching of her as it was happening, and my wife trying her damnedest to not laugh when she realizes what's going on. Like, not so much punishing her, being like, you know, you can't do that. You know, you can't lie. And the idea of just being a kid and, like, being caught in that moment and freaking out, I just thought was the greatest thing in the world. Just the idea of being caught as a kid to me is the best. Like, I don't want to say the best thing, because as a kid, when you're in that moment, it's the most terrifying concept in the world, that, oh my God, they caught me doing this. And the excuses you come up with to cover it up, it was just, I just thought it was great. Oh, I was just doing nothing. And my wife explained, were you just spitting? And her saying, no, and then wiping her hand across her shirt, and suddenly there's a blue streak going down the side of her shirt where her hand just went. It was a great little thing. It brought me back to being a kid, just trying to get away with things and thinking, you know, getting caught.
So
for
what's
stuff.
What's the thing that you first remembered?
The thing of always
that you did.
The things you would do to try and not get caught was the thing that it would get me. I was always, believe it or not, a relatively good student in school. But whenever I would have a bad test result, I would never have the nerve to bring a test home or let anyone know about it. So I would always claim to lose my tests when things happen. And what I would generally do, strangely, after an almost arson story, I would light a test on fire rather than there be any record of anything that I would have, and then run down the street and throw this burning test down the sewer. This was something that I used to do just to keep myself from getting in trouble. These are little plans, little plots. Not quite, not nearly
work.
No, because then when the test didn't come in, then my teacher would make me bring a note home to get signed, and maybe those would burst into flame once. But
just think what shredders do now for these kids.
Oh, man, they get away with so many things.
I've heard of this conversation, but I've never had that happen to me before. Like, and I don't think they did it in my school either. Like, you got something bad, go have your parents sign it and then bring it back to prove
that your parents know about it. Yeah, I went to Catholic school. I don't know if it's a different thing.
They make you sign it in their blood.
Right, in the blood of the Lord is what you have to.
What if it's signed thing? By Jesus?
Is that a normal thing that you guys said? Did you have to get tests signed if you failed?
Oh, definitely. You had to get your report card signed.
Not just report card. I'm saying just a test. This was like, because like I was saying, contrary to.
In grammar school,
yeah. Did they mail that to you?
No, absolutely not.
No, they gave it to you. But I remember as a little kid, like, this is all little kids do this. Pick their nose and then put their hand over their mouth and then put the boogers into their
this little
into
kid
your mouth.
This little kid didn't do that.
I would see kindergartners do that all the time.
Eating thing.
Why? Salty and delicious.
I see kindergartners pick their nose just legitimately and then look around and then just put their hand over their mouth and put their finger right into their mouth.
See, Chris, those smug little bastards that think they're getting over.
Well, Frank, you should kick their asses.
And they think they're getting away with it. Like, they think they don't see it. And then you say, hey, stop picking your nose. How'd you know? Because you have your hand over your mouth and you just picked your nose and put it in.
I've been picking my nose for years, kid.
What, like when you're sitting in the car next to your wife and she's looking out the other window and you pick a snot really quick and flick it out the window, you think you got over? That type of thing?
Pick it right in front of her. It's fine.
No, see, it's embarrassing.
Look, man, I enjoy a good nose picking as much, if not more, than the next man. I'm a digger, too. I go deep.
You're a what?
Me too.
I'm a digger. Okay. You feel like the threat of it back there. It's like is that my nose or is that a part of my brain? And you got to keep going. You got to keep going and scratch it out. And
by the way, Fred, our buddy Walter Surfdeck is suggesting these kids pick their nose and then they put it in their hot lunch. Bon appetit.
I had this problem.
You're right.
I had this problem, and this is recently, like over the last couple of years, where all of a sudden I got this terrible, like, this weird itching at the top of my nose.
Inside the nose or outside?
Inside the nose.
Ooh, that's weird.
Now, I can't, as an adult, stick my fingers in my nose, so all I could do was constantly press down on my nose.
And what do you mean you can't put your fingers in your nose?
You need a kid to do it? I don't understand.
If I'm like at work or something, I can't stand there and stick my fingers up my nose to scratch
work.
It.
You said recent.
You can't go to the bathroom? Excuse me, I have to go to the bathroom.
You don't understand. I'm talking about something that was happening like every minute or so. It was during allergy time. I always had bad allergies.
The characters from ICU would see you pick your nose. That video game you play.
Ico. I don't want Ico seeing me pick my nose. Yeah. So like I would have to scratch my nose, and the only way I could do it, the fastest way to do it, would be just to take my hand and press down on the top of my nose.
Punch myself in the face.
And I thought, like, honestly, after a while, I thought this might be worse because I might look to people like I'm like wiping my nose all the time. You know what I
Definitely.
Mean?
Definitely.
It just dawned on me as you were talking about it. Yeah. That's probably what it looked like. So anyone that saw that, I wasn't wiping my nose.
But what other kids' things did you think that you would get away with? Like, you would really get away with, I would never dare to forge my mother's signature because I just think I would get caught, and I don't think I would do it right.
By the time I got to the point that I was trying to forge stuff, I was already in high school and just didn't care about anything in the world.
And I wouldn't even dare not to bring my report card home or to burn it and watch it go down the sewer and have the balls to say, I lost it.
I didn't. Well, report card, I never was that brazen. Like I said, contrary to what you may believe about me, I was actually a relatively good student. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have – it wasn't too many things that there were failures of that I had to bring home. It was a couple of tests.
And once you say you lost it, they know that there's something wrong. Like, once a kid says they lost their report card, it's like, what'd you do? What'd you fail? Like, that's the next question. That's like trying to get over on the parents and knowing that you got over it.
Being
you got over on them.
As a perfect tie-in, I just realized this to the smug little jerk thinking you're getting over story from earlier today. When I was in the fifth grade, I think I've told the story on the air before. I had a particular teacher that confiscated my fingerless glove and press-on earring that I wore on dress down day.
Thank God.
And when the
–
we had dress down day at Catholic school. And so you would go in. You were allowed to wear whatever you want.
Why is that confiscated then?
I was allowed to wear whatever I wanted. My mom – I dressed one way when I left the house. And when I got into school, I took my sweater off where I had my Motley Crue shirt on underneath it. Complete with a pentagram on it. I put on a fingerless glove.
Oh, it's Catholic school.
And I put on an earring.
You're like the 15-year-old who puts the sexy outfit on, the girl that puts the sexy outfit on when she leaves the house.
We're talking fifth grade. So it's not a 15-year-old. We're talking like a 9-year-old, 8-year-old, something like that.
Awesome.
Is what I was going for.
The Corey Haim look?
Yeah, well, again, it was because I was obsessed with Motley Crue. So I went with this whole thing. So
it was all about Satan. That's what it was. Yeah. It was the fact that I had a pentagram and he was in Catholic school.
Yes, Walter Sobchak on Dresden Day, Chris decided to dress like a homo. Yes, that's what I was going for. But so, in one particular teacher's class, she decided we were having a spelling bee during Dresden Day. I got up and I left my fingerless glove and my earring at my desk. When I said, by the way, mind
because
you, press-on earring. It wasn't even a real earring.
The magnet,
right. It wasn't a real earring.
Did it have a feather, like a blue, like aqua blue feather hanging off of it?
No,
or
I think it was like some sort of silver cross type thing. I don't even know exactly what it was.
A real George Michael look?
Exactly. It was very, very masculine. Well, whatever it was. So somehow during the spelling bee, I didn't see it. She somehow took my fingerless glove and my earring off my desk and made me so mad. I got upset. We went out to lunch, and at lunchtime,
she had the fingerless glove and earring on.
I decided to take a rock and scratch things into her car. to get her back.
She'd never guess who that was coming from.
Yeah, of course not, obviously.
Obviously, the badass with the press-on earring is the one that did it.
Obviously.
Did you scratch a fingerless glove and an earring on her car?
No,
a rock.
No, I actually put random curse words inside of her
car.
What
curse words? Like bastard?
Like ass. I'm not even screwing around. Ass, I think I wrote dick. I think I wrote poopy.
F-bomb?
No, I might have. I don't remember the specific words. I know it was, but there was no like, hey,
like
you're
bitch.
It wasn't like you're a jerk or anything like that. It was nothing, like nothing pointed.
Just
random
words
scratched around the car. But the thing is, it was done with a little pebble, and it was so light you could barely see it that I didn't, no one knew that it happened until 2 weeks later when I decided to show off to one of my classmates that I did. Like, no, you didn't do that. Like, come look. And I started pointing it out to them.
Ooh, look at you.
Always the way people end up going to jail.
I know, because that's how murderers go to jail.
I know. That's how I wound up in jail for murder, because that teacher eventually found out. No, so
she saw you pointing it out to the kid.
Long story short, the kid who I told wound up telling so many people that I found out that I was the person who did it, and they let everybody know, and I was bragging about
rat.
It.
What a rat.
So when they found out, they said, all right, tomorrow I want you to bring this note home to your parents. You're going to let us know what happened, blah, 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 and this is what's going to happen. I said, okay. So that next day, obviously, I felt awful. I had 102 fever that next day because I held a thermometer next to the light in my house to get a fever when they took it, and they did it.
So you had like one of them 150 degrees.
Exactly. No, I had it worked out. I had it worked out to a science. I can get to a nice 102, and it worked out. And I thought I was going to get away with it, and I wound up, obviously, about an hour after I was homesick, the call from the school comes, so where's Chris today? It's weird that he's sick the day after it was found out that he vandalized a teacher's car.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Did you have to paint the car on the weekend or something?
No, I had to pay for the cover-up paint to cover it up, which was like wound up being like a year of no allowance, and actually wound up being the end of my allowance. I never got allowance again after that. I was at the age that I should have been starting to get a job not long after. I was like fifth, sixth grade.
Wearing Motley Crue t-shirt, you're
obviously,
a man.
Obviously.
Let me ask you
my
something.
Coming of age.
About trying to get away with things. When you're younger and you like trip, a lot of times people, like when they're younger and they trip in the middle of the street, because it happens constantly, not constantly, but it happens to everyone, like you trip, you'll almost like look like, oh, what did I trip over? You know what I mean? Like, who left that out there?
I can't believe that piece of air was thick right in front of that step.
There must be something, like, you know, like you almost want to like start pointing to the ground.
You have to embrace the trip. If you trip, you have to get up and look all around and just take it and be like, you lift your hands up. And see, I did it.
Falling
did it.
Even.
Oh, okay.
There's not much you can do. When you fall, you just want to get up and get the hell out
you
of
just, do you get up and just bonk yourself on the side of the head, like, please, God, jeez.
Oh, you just do the shrug, the sitcom
shrug.
Yeah. It's more like the sitcom shrug, and you got to, like, look to see if anybody saw you, and if somebody saw you, you got to connect eyes and say, yeah, I'm the
and
guy.
And that's the other thing, like, people, you'll see.
And then you have to stab that person so they can never tell the story.
So I'm to the point now where I, like, trip over something, I just, like, stay stone-faced and continue walking. I don't look down.
See, that's
I don't look around to see
those
if anyone's
people just,
like,
I laugh
I tripped.
At.
What am I going to do? I trip. See, that's what you laugh at? I laugh more at the people that immediately throw their head all around, like, oh, man, who saw that?
I laugh at the guy that takes himself seriously after he trips. Definitely. That's the guy that you...
takes himself seriously.
Because you're taking yourself seriously. You're like, I tripped. Oh, this is horrible.
No, see, I'm not doing that. I'm just tripped and I'm going...
pointing angrily at that space where they just tripped over.
But that's the difference.
Somebody better do something about this.
No, he's ignoring the fact that it even happened. Not that it didn't happen to him, that it didn't happen in the universe.
That's even funnier. The guy that ignores it, the trip, that trips and just keeps going on like nothing happened, that's hysterical.
You think?
That's freaking hysterical.
All right, then. I'm funnier than I thought.
How many times did he trip, though? I mean,
look at him.
I'd say
no. Seriously, and I'm serious about this because there are people
right
that are trippable.
The discussion is going on in the Pal Talk room. Some people have tripped 100 times. Are we counting mesk and acid, or just acid as far as tripping is concerned?
No, I trip. I like every 2 months I'll accidentally trip over like nothing. You know what I mean? Like you take a wrong step or whatever causes it. I don't. Yeah. I no
see,
longer
I'm a stub
turn,
my
look
foot
down
guy because I'm a friggin' oversized goon and my feet are like 14s. Like I'll bump into and that's also embarrassing.
Can I say honestly? You're saying as much as that's the case. The fact that you're blaming it on the size of them, even now when you're not tripping, it still falls into the category of the guy who's looking. Hey, what was the reason for that? You're blaming the size of your feet. You haven't gotten yourself acclimated
you know
to
like,
the size of your own feet
I,
at 35
I
years
even,
old.
I'm not acclimated to my size of my being. I'm like that over that big oversized puppy dog that doesn't realize how big they are and they wag their tail and break shit. Oh, sorry, I tripped. There we go. Explicit. So, like, I'll walk into a cube,
wait,
like an
what?
Office cube.
What's
tripping over words?
Just verbally tripped.
Just verbally tripped, yeah. Exactly. Get to the point. What am I saying?
He's still down. He's still down. Look, he's trying to get up.
So
down goes Frasier. Down goes Frasier.
Like, for the record, to bail him out for a second so he can regroup, I will say that Rob saying he's getting used to his frame, Rob was skinny as hell when I worked with him in the mid-90s. He was an extremely thin guy.
Okay, you know what? Trying to squeeze into a small place as a newly found chubbier guy is one thing.
It's like a cat who lost his whiskers.
Not knowing.
Yes, exactly.
Like walking sideways, can't get in that tiny little hole anymore.
Newly declawed.
But it's not at like age 31 he started eating a little more pasta and his feet grew three sizes. His feet have been size 14, I'm going to guess, since he's 17 years old. That's what I'm guessing. Your feet haven't grown in this time.
Absolutely. Very true, very true.
My feet have gotten larger.
But you know how many times I'd make a turn in an office cubicle area and like almost knock down the damn wall? Like, whoa, the whole place would shake. You haven't done that? You have ever banged into?
No, I'm saying you lucked out in it being almost. I've literally knocked down walls.
like
the partitions
cubicles.
Between cubicles. God. I absolutely have knocked them down, but then we don't put them together so well.
My recovery for tripping is to exaggerate the trip. Like, I'll trip on something, and I could, like, immediately
just
recover.
Knock a tooth out.
I could immediately recover, but I'll take three steps to go, oh!
Play dead.
I like it. I point out the fact that I'm a jerk who tripped on something, and I've done that maneuver, and in that maneuver have, like, broken things. Like, in my exaggerated thing, knocked off stuff.
See, that's
even more ridiculous.
Oh, God.
That's a dude.
You should do what Brian does, Keith. I think you should just embrace the trip. Trip, realize that it's happened, look around, see if anyone saw you. If anyone saw you, give them, like, you know, a thumbs up or something, and then just go
on. Yeah, I made it. Yeah, I did it, didn't I?
I survived or something, and just go on. I don't think you should ignore it, because by ignoring it, if somebody sees you, they definitely, like, look at that big bald guy that just tripped. What a douche.
What about just dropping something? Dropping your keys or, like, just... There's
dropping
all,
your keys is fine.
Dropping an anvil on your foot. Like, those things.
If you have
an
umbrella, it's fine. You just hold it up.
Dropping off a cliff naked.
But you keep running for a minute or two with a little cloud where your feet are,
or
and
your
you
cell
just
phone,
fall down.
Your cell phone takes a spill and the battery and everything flies all over the place. And you
okay, what's more embarrassing?
That's awful.
What's more,
I've had a cell phone that was falling while I was standing at a toilet, and as it was starting to fall, I saw it going into the toilet, so I slapped it. Hold on. I slapped it in midair to stop it from going into the toilet, and it smashed into the wall and broke the phone in half.
Oh, that's great.
So I stopped it from breaking by breaking it a different way.
You know what? You would have broken it just as much if it hit the water, but you got rid of the frustration of trying to get it to work because it was all in one piece. Well, like, I'll let it dry out for a month or something.
You ever do the juggle? Like, when you're dropping something, you want it, you fumble for it and you grab it the second time, but it's not working. And if you're just smart enough, you'd spread your arms and let it go and let it drop, but it's a cup of coffee, and now you're throwing coffee all over the place, and you can't stop yourself from trying to catch it.
What's more embarrassing, walking
through... And you got an empty cup of coffee. Hey, I saved it.
What's more embarrassing, walking through a group of people and tripping and having them see you trip, or walking through a group of people with your fly open?
Oh, fly open doesn't bother me at all.
Fly tripping, open doesn't bother me. Tripping is the worst. Is worse.
Yeah,
because people see like your boxer shorts and be look at that dude with his because fly open. Tripping shocks you at the same time, so it's that added on. To
see,
it.
I'd rather
the
trip.
Fly open. I look down. It's just like, you know
I'd
what?
I'd so rather trip than have the fly open.
I constantly check to see if my fly's open. I'm always checking.
Me too, because the fly open maybe is like a little like there's some like swarminess. So like maybe this person's doing that on purpose. Maybe they have their fly open. On
well,
purpose.
Chris does.
The tripping thing I don't see.
Wife have a question you why your fly's open? I have. Like, I've come
it's
home
for
my
you,
fly
baby.
Open,
I made a breezy accent.
Why my fly's open.
See, you know, Rob, you came home from with your fly open, and she asked you why your fly
yeah,
is open.
Yeah, she'll bust
she
my balls.
She, was like, she thought you were with a partner?
Strip bar.
With your partner. She thought you were with your partner?
Just a general busting chops of saying
what strip bar are you going to that they take your zipper down?
Well, he had to go to the bathroom.
That's what his wife wants to know.
When he had the strip bar, he had to go to the bathroom. He's in the urinal. He's doing his thing. And he's worrying about how much he's going to tip the guy with the towels. And he's not thinking correct. And there he goes. Now he's at home
handing
after
towels out in the strip bar. What strip bars do you go to? That's
really
classy.
You don't go to a strip bar where there's a guy asking you for $3 in the men's room for a towel to hand to you so you can wash to dry your hands.
I don't want
to
go local, so I'm not going to talk about the fact that of naming the real low end strip bars on Staten Island that we would go to as opposed to going to like someplace like Scores where
like
you
a
would
pail
go
in the corner. There's
exactly there's a spittoon in the corner right. And a pail, and it's the same thing.
Yeah
it's
all.
Awesome.
See,
is that more embarrassing to me socially? To have you fly open.
Really?
Like, other than like tripping or like coughing or sneezing or you
I think
know,
tripping
like,
is worse.
tripping is worse than
well,
there's
I will
so much
say this.
More like everyone sees you trip. One person is going to notice your fly.
A malfunction of your wardrobe is something that can happen. A malfunction of being a bipedal creature and not being able to function that way and walk on 2 feet, like that's there's something wrong with you. Your clothes being breaking or something going wrong with your clothes isn't the same as you not being able to walk.
Well, there's something wrong with you if your clothes aren't on right just as much as there's something wrong with you that you're not walking.
People look so stupid when they're walking around with that flyover.
Dude, so dumb. Or like if a girl's like nip is showing and she's just walking around.
What about the pee stain accident?
Wet
dripplings.
Drip on the pants. That's embarrassing too.
Yeah, that's recently happened to me.
It's more embarrassing. Hmm.
Dude, I wash my hands so vigorously in the bathroom, it looks like I've peed myself often. Like I'm in the bathroom washing the hands, and I'll wash it like 3 or 4 times, and I'll go to like take the towels, and I'll look down, and I notice that I've got like soapy water all over me.
Well, better yet, I check to see if my fly's open when I get wet hands. And then I get that happens to me all the time.
I just thought of something worse than the fly open. Something in the teeth or the hanging out of the nose.
That's bad.
If you have like something in the tooth, if you have like a spinach thing in your teeth or something hanging out of your nose, it's even worse.
Teeth don't bother me nearly as much as the booger, definitely. That's why you got to be the kid with the hand over eating it and you'll be fine.
There's nothing like trying to have a conversation with a person who's got a big booger on his upper lip. Just like came right out and it's just clamped right there.
Especially mustache guy. Mustache guy that has it in there.
Like you're not close enough to
say it.
You're not. It's if he's that. If you're not close enough, I tell you, got a booger on your nose. But if it's like some
dude you don't know, you know.
One of the guys that I know at work that I'm really like, I'm really good friends with. He's one of the guys I specifically make a point to go and hang out and talk with a lot. Yesterday, I got news for you. He may very well be listening to the show. Had a huge snot in his nose yesterday.
And you didn't tell him?
Not yesterday, on Tuesday.
You told me in the past that you specifically with your coworkers will tell each other, oh, dude, your breath stinks and all this stuff.
Breath stinking is different, and there's certain guys that I'll tell
your
about
boss.
The breath stink.
Your boss. Like a person above you, he's got a booger on his nose.
That's
my
like
boss.
You're talking to and you're revolted. You can't not look at the booger, but every time you do, you're like eyes flinching. You try to look away, but
I'll tell anyone because it's less embarrassing.
You know what it is, man?
I'll tell anyone.
I probably wouldn't tell my boss because I think he would be more embarrassed by the fact that someone else
that's
noticed.
The problem. You don't want to be that guy.
How could you not notice? It's like a billboard out there.
But it's not because I'm a jerk for telling him. I think he'll feel awful knowing that I saw him in that weakened state.
Oh, so you want the next guy to take it.
It's a master servant type of thing.
When he sees it and fixes it, he can always say, you know what, maybe nobody knew.
Exactly. He'll lie to himself that way.
And that's better.
Only the guy who told me truly knows. And that guy
I'm saying the opposite. I'm saying that if nobody tells, I think it's going to resonate in his mind that somebody said to him, hey man, you got snot in your nose.
Yeah, I'm always the guy who saw him in that weakened state.
No way. But what if he goes home and he sees that there's snot in his nose and it's been there all day and no one's told him?
It probably happened on his train ride.
He'll convince himself it just kind of went there.
He doesn't look in the bathroom mirror at all during the day.
Dude, it seems like when I have a conversation with someone, like I'll check my fly, like I'll mess with my nose, like I'll make sure like there's nothing in my teeth. Like just for that, like I check my breath.
Oh my god!
The breath stinking might even be worse than all of that.
Can I just explain to you? Every Wednesday, I go to my therapist and we have a nice conversation about how my head is broken. And every time he makes a move towards his nose like that, and like pinches his nose, I'm convinced he's trying to tell me. So then I'll start pinching my nose as we go into the whole thing.
Yep, you're doing the facial tics.
Oh my god,
that was the other thing I was concerned about when I thought about like touching the top of my nose to scratch it. Like people probably thought I was telling them like, hey, your nose is dirty. Yeah.
Well, but they're not telling you. They're just, it's subconscious, and then you're thinking now you're trying to get into their subconscious mind, and meanwhile, they're doing the same thing with you.
I'm the same way when I check my fly. When I talk to somebody and I check my fly, I'm thinking, oh, is this person thinking I'm like touching myself now when I'm talking to them? I'm just checking to see if my zipper's open.
You should limit that to like in-between conversations.
See, I would be more embarrassed by someone thinking I was checking to make sure that my fly was open than if they thought that I was scratching my balls. It wouldn't. I think it's totally acceptable to do like a little juggle while you're talking to somebody.
No.
I know that that's not acceptable, and I'm the worst at that. I'm constantly resituating things in there, and I'm doing it without even knowing it. Like I catch myself in the middle of a conversation. It's happening, and I'm like, "What am I doing?
I got news for you. The guy who I didn't tell about the snot yesterday has, 2 days ago, whatever day it was. has in the past told me, dude, could you stop juggling your balls while I'm standing here?
I've had so many
could
people
you just stop
do
it? Could you wait like 5 minutes for us to finish this conversation? Then you can feel yourself up as much as you want.
It's so embarrassing.
And then, of course, at that point, I'll spread my legs further and juggle them more to make a joke out of it. But the thing is, it wasn't a joke in the first place. Yeah, I was a guy that was feeling myself up while having a
That's
conversation.
That's like ejaculating and somebody walking in on you because you wouldn't stop. You would just keep doing it.
No.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
I don't know. I heard something way
who
back.
Who walked
back.
In on you? Who walked in
no,
on
somebody,
you?
If somebody walks in on you in the middle of it, if you really think and say, would you be able
you're talking
to
about
stop?
You mean about jacking it you're talking about?
Yeah,
obviously?
but during the climax portion, would you be able to stop?
No, I don't think it's physiologically possible.
I think
what he means is, do you continue on? Like, I have to continue this function until I'm fully done.
I want to know about. I want to see how good our friend Mike Pristine would how would he would answer this.
I'm trying to understand what you're saying.
All right, let me.
If you're in the middle of blowing the load, you're saying,
you're in the middle of the stroke, so to speak.
The stroke or the load blow,
both.
You're on your little pee site, and it's been a good like 30 seconds. So like you're coming close to the end.
GoldenEmanations.com.
Right, and then right as that magical little moment starts to approach itself, and then all of a sudden, bling! The light goes off, and the little color starts flushing into your face, and the eyes slightly roll back into your head, and you feel a little faint, and you almost die a little bit. Someone comes into your room and says, "Hey, you got a dollar? I can." Whoa! What do you do? Can you pinch it off?
It's midstream.
I don't think I'd be able to stop.
Depends on who it is. If it's my mom, yes.
Rob is saying something insane. Basically, I'm asking you: Are you man enough to be able to physiologically just clamp it off and make it stop? Rob's saying he actually can't stop his arm from pumping around. Like he has to actually continue with the process.
Yeah. He's not checking his swing, put it that way.
Yeah, see, I'm definitely going to be turning my back and going, and basically blowing the load in the corner like blue spit behind the couch.
He's a gentleman.
He's like, I'm not wasting this. You know, sorry you got me at the wrong time, but I got a good 10 pumps left in me.
Somebody's ruined your moment either way.
And by the way, Rob asked for Pristine's opinion on it. Pristine says, make sure you maintain eye contact with them while you're spunking. Hey, what's up?
Give me a second.
When did this happen to you, Rob?
It hasn't. I just, for some reason, I don't know if I heard a story or
dude,
if it was a joke.
Your mother walks in on you like that.
But during it,
who
actually,
else is going to walk
gonna,
in
gonna,
on
gonna,
you?
I'm going to give you
grandmother?
Internet world
could be your grandmother.
You know, out there. While you're doing it, just think, can you just stop?
Definitely. If it's my grandmother or my mother, especially my grandmother because she's dead.
I don't even like
try as an exercise. See how hard it is to stop.
Can I say something?
Like being in the room.
Your dead grandmother walks in the room. Come on, her tits. That's what you've got to do. Come on. This is a once in a lifetime. When's that going to happen again?
I tell you, and if it does happen, it's not going to be one of those enjoyable ones. You know how you can make it enjoyable,
Rob,
or if it's just
will make
like,
sure it's going to be enjoyable.
Dribbles out. You know, it's definitely going to be a.
We're all getting older. They dribble, you know.
Where did that come from? Where did that come from?
Rob's getting his
what
money's
do you mean?
Worth.
That whole Rob segment.
I don't know. Apparently, he's been jacking it under the table, and he got caught by someone in the Pal Talk room, and now he's trying to. Hey, remember that funny time? That's a funny story.
He's tripping. He's verbally tripping.
He's trying to get over on us.
Did you ever get caught? Like you mentioned, like forging, like earlier, like a report card or something. I remember about 10 years ago, and this is as adults.
I'm sorry, Johnny. UPC is suggesting that there's a game show somehow in this, and I don't want to be involved in any game show like this.
I'm definitely coming up with a game show for next week.
I think
the game shows we all stand at the table and you have to try and stop yourself from coming.
No, it's going
to
be the most embarrassing jerking off moment.
I think
you have to guess who's jerking off. Embarrassing jerking off moment is it?
Have
I'm
we told
tell
them
a story.
Have we told them on the air before?
No, never. I don't think I'm going to ask all you guys what's
so
the most
you're gonna
embarrassing.
We're going to give you all the stories.
You're going to give me all the stories, and we each
and you're going to
you,
mix one of your own in with it.
Yep, and each of you are going to have to guess the
great,
most embarrassing.
Love it. What's the payoff?
Masturbation story.
What's the payoff for the story?
Dude, what's the money shot?
The loser has to eat the cum of everybody else. How did this show turn into Cumfest? Cumfest 2009.
I'm sorry, I don't like where this is going.
Well, that's going to be the new game show.
Like
but
if you don't have a really good one, can you use someone else's? Because I know of other people's
that
aren't here.
I can make one. Go out
just
and get one this week.
Then?
You got a week to have an embarrassing.
You don't have embarrassing. I have an embarrassing masturbation story.
Of course you
I definitely do.
Do.
I've got a couple.
Really? A couple? Brian, you have an embarrassing masturbation story?
I don't masturbate.
That's embarrassing.
I have two good ones. I have two good ones. I don't know which one is better for the show.
Rob, you got an embarrassing masturbation story?
Yes, it involves
you
the
just
last
told
time
it.
I
Remember that time on the show when I talked about masturbation?
But you brought up forgery. I remember about 10 years ago, my sister-in-law and I were both going to the college here on Staten Island. One of them, the College of Staten Island. And there was this dean that used to have to get his signature in order to get into a class that was full already. So she said that, and I was like, oh, gimme. I was like, I've gotten that guy's signature plenty of times. And I was like, I'll just forge it for you. So I forged it, compared it, and I was like, oh, that's perfect. There's no problem. So she goes in to the registrar and just comes out with like the most defeated face in the world and hands me the paper and says, the lady said to me, what is that? That's not his signature. You forged that.
You know,
did you ever try and pursue it after that, or you just walked away? You walked around with the head and shame, caught knowing that you weren't going to try after that.
I definitely probably thought at least it wasn't me. But I know, I was like, oh, sorry. Like, I thought that would work or something.
You know, I don't know if it's because I was actually kind of a nice child and I didn't really try to get over or get away with a lot of stuff. But I don't remember. The only real significant thing I can remember as a child getting caught at is I was a pyromaniac. And that was a lot of my friend. Like, the friend that I would hang out with.
You had sex with dead people?
Yes. I would like to have sex with fire. Walter was his name, not Walter Sobchak.
You used to start fires together?
He introduced me to fire, and boy, did I love fire.
You didn't know what fire was before then?
How
old were you?
I didn't have match. I was young. I was maybe like eight, maybe 7 or 8 years old or something like that.
Allow me to say you are resonating so much with me.
He gave me matches.
You know what, Keith? I have the most in common with Brian, apparently.
That was really the only thing that I got stung with, and I was so dumb about it because we were matches guys. We liked
– You were a match made in heaven.
Walter Sobchak, no wonder he likes Fire Island.
We'd take the matches, and I mean, we'd do stupid stuff. We'd just light things on fire or make a fire out in the parking lot, or it wasn't like – fireworks. Well, it was anything
fire.
Interesting.
Like, just like you would light a book of matches and that was a fire, or you would light a garbage can?
Matches was, I mean, that was our like, you know, drug. That was our primer, if you will. That was the thing that we always had at hand. But we'd use that. We would just, like, light matches off and kind of smell the smell that's coming off them and throw them away. But, like, you know, for a real good time, we'd go out and grab, like, a toy or like a mass amount of paper, or we'd find stuff in the woods. When we'd get stuff in the woods, we'd go, ooh, let's burn it. Let's burn it was always the first thing that we'd come to. Hey, we found something, let's burn it. Would always be like the first
thing. Nice to meet you. Are you flammable?
The matches make they stink up your fingers, and there's no amount of washing or anything can kind of get rid of it. So I'd come in after a day of hanging out with Walter, and my mom would smell my fingers, and I'd be punished. I constantly get punished for lighting, for just having matches.
So she'd smell your fingers.
Smelling my fingers, and it always, she always got me.
I used to have an ex-girlfriend that used to smoke cigarettes with a dishwashing glove because her mother smelled her fingers when she'd come home.
Why didn't I think
And
that?
She used to have a dishwashing glove that she used to smoke cigarettes
with. When you did your burning, you burnt things outside of the house.
Yeah, we never went inside. Well, I mean, parents and stuff were inside. We didn't.
Yeah, I got to the point that it was almost like that the stash that you would get wasn't necessarily of porno. I would have stashes of like lighters and books of matches and stuff like that because I was so psyched. Like I had my paraphernalia, my jack material basically is what I was looking at, and I was burning everything. There was a time that my mom actually had to paint a piece of the house because I would flash the lighter on parts of the house, and you'd get like these little black marks from it on white paint. It just looked so good.
Did you burn yourself? You ever burn yourself?
I never burnt myself, like not badly. I mean, you know, you get a little.
How about your bed or your furniture?
I did burn furniture, but just charred it. I charred it. I never burnt it.
Blackened it.
I got news for you. Keith
antiqued it.
Keith helped me, help my mother and I move my mom out of my mom's house when she moved, which was like my childhood home. Like maybe was that like a year, 2 years ago, something like that. Keith, did I show you any of the burn marks that were still in my old bedroom? I could have swore I showed you stuff where I burned. Maybe I'm talking.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't remember any of it specifically, but there was a lot of stuff you showed me.
You ever burn your socks? You show me something? I used to burn my socks.
Of course, Burzak. I used to burn my Matchbox cars. I used to make believe that there was some sort of chase going on, and the guy's car was getting burnt, and I'd be sitting by my windowsill with a burning Matchbox car, burning my hands and burning stuff and putting burns everywhere. I loved it.
The biggest thing for us was when we discovered how plastic and rubber melted and burned, because it melts. Black. It's the black. It's the darkest sort of blacky. Yeah, heavy. It's almost like it's not gas. It's liquid.
It's like cancerous.
Like it kind of comes up, and the smell is delightful. It smells great. Plastic burning smells delicious. Almost as good as rubber burning, but it's so hard to burn rubber with like a pack of matches. That takes a long time.
We got to the point that then we would steal, I would take my mother's hairspray and go out in the street. You'd make a line of hairspray in the street and then light it on fire, then fire, and then you do a blowtorch. Well, first of all, you do it like, oh, we're doing Back to the Future with the fire marks in the street. Yeah! Then you just start holding a flame in front of an aerosol can.
We didn't have any, we didn't have any, like, fuel. We just basically lit stuff on fire. We used oxygen and matches. We didn't have any, like, I don't know, that felt like cheating. Like if you're using gasoline, it's kind of like you're cheated.
A bottle of rubbing alcohol was like 30 cents. You'd buy rubbing alcohol, dump it on the street, light it on fire. It was a huge blaze, and it would be out in seconds.
I remember a friend of mine wanted to design his jacket with like a fire look on the back, his denim jacket. So he held a lighter and a can of some sort of aerosol spray and just sprayed it onto the jacket, and like everything in the bathroom just went on fire. Like, all around it.
I've heard people have that blow up in their hand. Like I heard when they like make
it.
That's
what happened to Richard Pryor, right?
Yeah.
I like doing it under the bathroom door. You light it and you spray it, and a flame goes under the bathroom door. You can, if there's the spacing underneath the door, if it's closed, yeah, you can put the flame underneath.
You could throw flames into other rooms of the house.
Like when people are in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, I never tried that.
Wow.
God, I love fire. God, I love fire.
God bless America.
Nice segue, Brian. Thank you. A while back, maybe a couple months ago, I ended the show with a story about how in Saudi Arabia, this 55-year-old man was told that his marriage to an 8-year-old wasn't valid anymore. Like people in the community complained, so he was told it wasn't valid. And I thought that might be the most ridiculous thing I had ever heard, but. This week I'm on Facebook, and as I said a couple weeks ago, that's where I get my news now, is from
that's
Facebook.
That's the most.
Somebody posts a link that I thought was from The Onion. And the story that I thought was from The Onion when I clicked it was actually from CNN.com. Because I always love a good Onion story.
So it was a real story. You know? So what you thought was a fake funny story was actually a real story.
Yeah, I didn't even think, like, is that real? It was just like, oh, it's from The Onion. And I was thinking, this is so out there that it's not even... It's probably one of the weaker Onion stories because it's kind of out there. CNN reported about, again, in Saudi Arabia, a family has entered into a lawsuit. They're suing the genie in their house. Now, a lot of people in Saudi Arabia...
How do they have a genie in their house? I don't have one in my house.
Well, that's why they're suing. The neighbors are suing, actually. But it's
got to rub the bottle the right way.
A lot of people in Saudi Arabia, according to the story, I don't want to stereotype, according to the story, believe in jinns and genies. And these people say that they've
jinns
had...
Jinns is a male genie?
A male genie, I believe. Okay. They've had this genie for the past 2 years, and this genie has begun making harassing phone calls to them.
Oh, do they have them on tape?
And stealing things from the house.
Can I ask a question? Did this gin in the bottle set off bottle rockets next to the pergola in the house next door, too?
And there's
eight. It's like someone that they're just blaming everything on. Oh, it was the cat that did it.
And one of the civil court judges, or the equivalent in Saudi Arabia, he was quoted as saying, yeah, this is an unusual case. And the reason it's an unusual case...
It's an unusual case because they don't exist. Because genies don't exist?
No, because there's 18 plaintiffs in this one, and there's usually only one.
Oh, my God.
To which my reaction was just...
Wait a second. It's
what?
A class action genie suit?
It's a class... Well, it's an entire family suing the genie that resides in their house. That has for the last 2 years. They're suing him for harassment.
That genie is going to pay...
Now, look, I'm fine... Exactly. I'm fine with, like, whatever beliefs anyone has. But when you, as a court, allow someone to sue... a genie, down the road, where do you see this ending? Like, if you find in their favor...
Death
how
penalty
are you,
for the genie.
How are you collecting now?
No. But does the
no,
genie...
take it out of, like, when the people Department have of genies? Education Fund or something like that. Take it out.
But when these genies are out there, do these genies live like they have like the lamps that they're living in type of thing? Is that where
it didn't,
a genie or
it didn't
a genie,
have any more detail?
I would assume they would just take the little lamp go. No. Locked up someplace.
The only way you sue is for money, and they think they're going to make money out of the deal. Where do they think the money's going to come from?
Three
the money's
wishes?
Not going to come from the genie. The money's going to come from the taxpayers.
Wish number two. Wish number two is that he gets the money.
I would imagine if a judge – I mean, there's a different culture that we're talking about, so it's hard to really kind of like figure out exactly where we're coming from. But I imagine, given the source of the news story, the people are probably taking it a little tongue-in-cheek. And just to show them, they might find in favor of the plaintiffs, and the genie owes you $1 million. Good luck collecting. You know.
So it's just more of a moral victory, really? It's like suing somebody after they're dead and you can't collect anymore?
So I guess. I don't know. And
it's only been harassing phone calls. There hasn't been bad luck in the family and stuff like that. It's just harassing phone calls.
I'm trying right now to get to it. I wish
they had tapes of these harassing phone calls. I bet you they can't come up with any tapes of these harassing phone calls.
I'm out of the bottle. It's a genie. It's not a ghost. Don't be silly.
Yeah, it's more like eat.
The lawsuit filed in, and I apologize for reading on the air, but the lawsuit filed in Sharia court
Master.
accuses the genies of leaving like them threatening voicemails, stealing their cell phones, and hurling rocks at them when they leave their house at night.
Hurling rocks, that's messed up.
Sheikh Amir al-Salmi, the head of the court, told the
local
newspaper,
man. Is that what you're suggesting?
We have to verify the truthfulness of this case, despite the difficulty of doing so. What makes this case and complaint more interesting is that it wasn't filed by just one person. Every member of the family is part of their case. I guess he means that, like, not one person's insane, everybody is.
Well, do you think, how about this? Do you think there's a person dressed up as a genie actually throwing rocks at them and saying that this is a genie? Like, that would be the awesomest thing ever.
Like on the Brady Bunch when Peter made a, Greg made a ghost?
Yeah. You're just throwing rocks at them and stealing stuff and dressed up as a genie. The curly-toed shoes and everything.
I think that'd be fantastic. I think that's the greatest way to cover this.
They might have a case then. They might have a case. That's ridiculous. I mean, why even bring it up? I mean,
me or
these people?
I thought you were gigging me.
These people aren't getting rocks thrown at them. What is with these people?
They might. It might be they're just not willing to acknowledge that people are throwing rocks at them. So they've
they think genies might as well have made a
person can't hate me this much. So it must be this evil genie. This evil
sky
monster.
Oh, so you think they're actually getting stuff done to them, maybe. These things, and they're blaming it on a genie?
I think they should maybe check the couch first for their cell phones, but if they're getting pegged at with stones and stuff, I mean,
I'm thinking they're going the opposite angle, that they're somewhat guilty of some things, and they're trying to lump themselves into it. The same way
so
that
when
you,
the bodies in the basement are found?
Exactly. The same way that when you were egging people's houses when you were a kid, Fred, that you egged your own house too, so you looked like one of the many victims of the genie.
That was him?
Yeah, exactly. That's the type of thing. By the way, I apologize. I'm somehow losing my voice halfway through the show. It must have been smoke inhalation from the fire stories before. I don't know what's going on there. I'm totally losing my voice.
But I would have thought that story was a Onion story as well after reading it. I mean, that's, it just can't be a
legitimate
story.
I was waiting for the joke. I was waiting for, like, the fake CNN. Was it, like, CNN.com or something I pressed? And it was real. So Saudi Arabia, 2 for 2. God bless you.
Yes, that's an amazingly weird story, and it's funny that it's in the legal system, but it's, I mean, I'm going to be the same argument and the same guy. It's no more mysterious and endearing and foolishly bizarre as any belief in some sort of mystical God.
But
it's, type.
But can you sue God in court? In the United States court?
This is a case in Saudi Arabia, you said, right?
But I think that's his point.
Of this is the fact that people believe it so much that they're actually taking it to court. They're actually bringing it to the legal scenario, and they actually truly believe, perhaps, in the existence of this genie. And therefore, they can do something wrong and they need to pay.
I guess it reaffirms our need for separation of church and state more than ever.
It's just, I mean... Clearly, I guess they're taking that whole like Kool-Aid concept to they're buying into it. I guess I have more respect for them because they actually really do believe in it. People who say they believe in God would look at something like that and say, "I'm not going to take God to court because God doesn't really exist."
But here's the thing that I'm going with though is this is something that's happening in Saudi Arabia, correct?
Yes.
I'm going to guess that this is not the most ridiculous case that's in Saudi Arabian
court. I brought it up when you ran away choking. Not. That this is 2 months ago. I brought up the case of the 55-year-old man who was mad that his marriage to an 8-year-old girl was annulled.
Dude, right.
And after that was the people that having sex on the beach that got arrested, like the couple, the married couple, right? Wasn't that in Dubai?
Didn't Opie and Anthony put them up to that? Is that what
No. This is just crazy. Things coming out of this
America
country
is a particularly repressive and religiously delirious country. I bet you that this is not the most bizarre thing that's in United States courts. I bet you there's some real wacky stuff going on in our country.
I don't think that they're suing God. Like we've been saying, I don't think there's a case against God in the United States.
There
hasn't been. If there is, then
I'll bet you go in the lesser courts. Like it's not going to go up to the Supreme Court because the filter there is going to be like
that would
ridiculous.
So be in the weird but true section of the Post. I would have known
and
about.
I've heard weird stories.
There was
like that.
Recently a case in the United States where somebody tried to sue God. Recently, and in the last 6 months, definitely.
Our buddy Walter Sobchak points out that Saddam Hussein's appeal took 20 minutes, and this case took years. Yeah. Go figure. <Totally.
laughs> But I'm sure this is like a lesser court. It's way down the line, and hey, we'll make we'll do this because it'll make American news, and they'll talk about it or something.
So, bro, are you saying you have respect for them for believing in it and drinking the Kool-Aid? And
I think.
Out and saying,
I mean,
if they're
going
to be cockamamie full bore.
I was going over the top with it. I have no more or less respect for them than the people who actually do say that they believe in their own personal sky monster, because that's no different. Their belief in the genie is no less ridiculous than any of the people in this room sitting at this table belief in any kind of mystical god.
By the way,
ridiculous.
Our buddy Dan and Cal points out that if this is going to be a truly fair trial, the genie needs to be prosecuted in front of a jury of his peers. They need to get a jury filled with genies in order for this to be a fair case.
True. I agree.
I don't know. I understand you're saying like them, but one person believing in one thing is no more ridiculous than another person believing in another thing. But a court accepting a genie as a plaintiff to me is insane. And if I still don't as a defendant, right. I still don't see. That's true. The genie's not allowed to sue.
That would be even more insane.
Genies are like slaves over there.
Genie rights now. Genie rights now.
But is that genie with the capital letter or is it all lowercase letters?
It's Barbara Eden, actually, that they're suing.
It's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk. The thing you do with you is the place to be. It's magic. Well, what are you scared about? Don't be nervous, Brian. Everything's under control. We'll be
I saw a genie. Aren't you losing your voice?
I'm losing my voice.
Please?
I think my basement may be allergies or something from being locked up.
I've never felt more comfortable in your basement than this day.
Temperature-wise?
Temperature-wise and
sweltering.
Just everything.
It's a humid.
I've never breathed nicer and felt nicer than this. Look, no and armpit stains? What?
I can't tell. You're wearing you have a dark shirt, so I can't tell.
Not a one.
No. I don't feel specifically hotter than usual. I'm losing my voice. I don't know what's going on.
You were
with my voice.
Cowered in the corner, like holding your chest at one point.
I can't breathe. I'm having something going on. I also haven't had a drink.
Because you look like you lost water, 50 pounds. That's why. Look at his shoulders.
Drink some water.
Leave me alone. I did. I drank water.
You look like Skeletor.
Okay. Thank
Eat
you.
Something. Come
Thank
on.
You. I'm good. Thank you very much. Speaking of losing weight and eating something and feeling good, and actually it has nothing to do with that at all, but it was a nice try. We mentioned earlier during the embarrassment segment you were talking about being caught with your fly open, and it brought up an idea of various states of undress that you could be caught in and whether that would be a problem. I was telling one of my coworkers this week that when I go out and do my running, when I come home, I'm soaked with sweat generally, and rather than bring my disgusting sweat-soaked clothes into the house, I have now made a habit, and I actually have a laundry bag that I keep in my van.
Outside of the house?
Outside of my house, in my driveway, and I take my shirt and my socks and my short and my shorts and my sweatshirt and my sweatpants off in my driveway and take my disgusting, filthy, sweaty clothes. And
who does it?
The
genie?
Yes. He sued me. The genie sued me for unfair work conditions.
It must
conditions.
Reek in that van.
No, because I don't...
So the van's your closet now because it's not on the road.
I have... Well, the van will be back on
it's
the road.
It's an extra room right
after
now.
This weekend where I have big plans. expenses.
You have a 4-bedroom apartment, right?
Yes,
now.
It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. But I've been taking my clothes off in the street, basically, out in front of the house, more or less. It's in my driveway.
That is ghetto. First of all, did your wife make you do it?
No. This is
on your own accord?
I get kind of grossed out by things. Really? I don't want my sweaty, disgusting clothes in the house. I do this and then run in the house in my underwear and then...
See, that I think would make your wife even more mad.
And go and I walk
from that because it's a good 20-foot like walk.
Sweaty, sweaty, disgusting underwear, mind you.
And what if the downstairs neighbors see you? Oh,
I know
them.
It's Zito. He's fine.
I know, but his girl. I mean, his girl doesn't need to.
She didn't meet me yesterday. She knows what to expect. No, but so I go into my house with my disgusting sweat-ridden boxers and go into the house and do this. And when I started mentioning the fact that...
I wonder why your girl's spitting on the corner.
And it's not the blue
repulsion.
It's the repulsion.
And that's...
Oh, that is so...
And the blue is not coming from that little juice stick either.
Oh, come on. Come on.
Insides are rotting out from your filth.
That's why I leave everything outside so she'll stop gnawing on that stuff. No, so I do this and I really didn't think much of it because I do laundry pretty frequently, so I don't let the stuff sit in the van for too long, and the van stinks like other things anyway.
You don't think much of it. That would be the thing I think of most.
What do you mean?
Coming into my house half naked with rotting.
I live there.
Stink. But you have an extra bedroom, like the computer room you could use as your changing room.
But this rotting stink that you're talking about, how, by leaving clothes on, does that not come in the house?
You ever think of a hamper? A hamper that keeps
the
stuff in?
Right, it smells. It would smell then. I take my disgusting sweaty clothes and I leave them outside.
Do they really stink that bad that
I sweat like an animal.
Right. That's the...
I sweat like a man.
I don't know if, I didn't catch the details into this, but if he hasn't sort of made this obvious, the van, it being parked outside, is actually a little bit of a distance away from his front door. He's got maybe 20 feet in
not
the
even.
Outside.
Not
in
even,
public.
Like 10.
All right.
We're thinking about it as the fourth bedroom. He has 3 bedrooms. He can't use that extra...
He's parked in his bedroom out in his front lawn,
exactly.
Basically. And he's getting undressed in it, I have to assume sometimes in daylight hours, and walking out in his underwear
people see
to his house. And then, like, walking up the front stairs and then coming into the house. And
there's 100% what the exact point is. So I'm telling the story to one of my coworkers. I don't know how it came up that I was talking about the fact that, oh, yeah, and I got mentioned it somehow. Again, I wish I could remember how the story started. And he was like... Wait, you animal, you strip in your driveway and come into your house nude? I'm like, no, I don't get nude. I get down to my underwear and then walk into my house. And I take my socks and shoes and shirt and all, you know, all the layers off, and I strip down to my underwear and walk in the house. And I honestly don't think it's that big of a deal. It's what's the difference between doing that and, like, walking out in a pair of shorts? What's the difference? It's boxer shorts. I don't wear tidy whities in front of the house. You're not seeing a skid mark while I'm sitting there. They're boxer
shorts. You're probably
shorts.
Juggling, though, you know, fixing
of
things.
Of course I'm juggling. Well, at that point, when you're all sweaty, that they're shriveled. They're shriveled and
you've
a mess.
Just been through the worst possible physical exertion that you've put on your body in the past 20 or 30 years of your life. And you're all sweaty and nasty and filthy. And these are probably the same underwear that you wore to work. Can't imagine you're changing your underwear before you go out for a run.
No, they're already musky with the idea that I know that their musk is going to be extra musker-sized.
So, yeah, you're walking out. If you don't – I mean, there's got to be times in there that you might have a little, like, unfortunate trail that you're not aware of going out in the back. There's all kinds of mess that's happening around it. I seem to remember you lashing back at me at one point in a conversation that I had about how every once in a while I'll go outdoors – in my pajamas and not have underwear underneath them. Like,
right.
I'm fully clothed.
Right.
I have pajamas on. I have a t-shirt on. I've got keys, my wallet, my cell phone,
There's a difference between intentionally leaving barely dressed versus coming home and looking around, much like when you trip over that empty thing on the street, or much like when you're, when your fly's open and you want to make sure no one catches you, picking your booger, whatever it is. I'm outside for a grand total of 30 to 45 seconds in my underwear, and I run inside my house. And that's it. And that's not to say, don't get me wrong, on garbage night, sometimes when I realize I didn't take a garbage bag out and the garbage truck is coming down the block, I've run outside of my underwear and brought the garbage out in your underwear. You never have?
No.
Who amongst us hasn't?
I haven't. If I were, I'd go out in my PJs.
But what about the lady across the street in the diaper that needs you to change her, that sees you running into your house with your tidy whities?
You'd hate to have her
and ruining her day. Or what about the next door neighbor that sees your skid marks as you're running into the? Come on, let's get real.
No, I don't. I wear dark. You can't see them.
Wait, so the next door neighbor's pulling his underwear off and looking in them?
for the record, I think we've explained some of my bathroom habits. I'm obsessive about cleaning my ass after I poo.
Like soap stains from the shower.
All right, fine, but you just went through a 2 mile run. You probably farted 10 times and like.
I'm telling you, I don't have
sweat.
You live in 2009 and you have an outhouse.
Yeah, well, where else am I going to go?
With wheels. With wheels. He lives in a city, and he parks his outhouse on his front lawn. Your toilet, your hamper, is parked out in front of your house.
Could you put a little star on it with your name?
Pristine Sneakers says it the best. Let he who hath not left the house in boxers throw the first garbage bag. Come on, Keith. You've never left your house in your underwear to take the garbage out?
I've always lived in a place where I can't do that. Like either a building or I'm trying to think.
Your old building, you used to have to walk outside to take the garbage out.
I never did that in boxes. There's always somebody coming in and out. But you know what?
They call that place society.
Actually about in the mid 90s when I lived in a private house. And like it was right in front. I would definitely go out at night in my boxers.
Yeah, thank you.
I was in '90s. It should be 200 BC. The mid '90s. I was so long ago.
You know, it was the middle of the night, and I knew nobody. I could look out the window and see nobody's out there. I would risk it.
By the way, I actually appealed to Rob and said, Rob, and then remembered he has an indentured servant that takes his garbage out for him. So what was I thinking?
Watch what you call my wife. Do not. I don't appreciate that.
Rob likes to go out naked and hope he gets caught putting the garbage out.
and he's ejaculating the entire time, and he doesn't stop stroking.
Dude, in the meantime, your van must be a filthy center of pus.
White-ass bread suggested that with the heat in the van that there's a game show of who can sit in the van the longest coming up. Who knows? Who knows? It's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. It's over. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out, being a part of the magic, the fantasy cavalcade. We'll see you guys when? Tomorrow night for the What Show. We'll see you what? Next Tuesday for the DJ New Style Show. And next Wednesday for 100K Presents. It's movie night. It's magic. It's
next
everything.
Friday, The Vagabonds.
No, The Vagabonds Hall is exciting. Exciting stuff.
And see us next Thursday.
Yeah. On Heroes Talk?
On Heroes Talk, 8 to 11.
Nice. Look at you. Like
what time zone is that?
America.
The American time zone, exactly.
Cocky socks, steamroller, roll over your face. We'll see you guys on the radio. Poodoo and the Llama. Peace. By the way, White S. Brent points it out. He has a sense of history as far as the show is concerned. Chris and Keith painted their toenails and walked to the pornography store and would buy a stack of nudie magazines in their boxer shorts. 100% true. It happens.
Well, I guess that's okay.
Right. Norm. Later.
Keeps all your dead hair from making up underwear. Poor little greenie.
entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears, and the place to be.